Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, and welcome to our Season 5, Episode 5.
Get your Gaimon!
Am I right?
So, like, no? Just like Jade evolved?
Because we're talking about games later, and Gaim's in it, and I like it.
Go on and get your game.
Get your Gaimon.
I had a very Aerosol-esque reaction earlier today.
He did.
You ate obvious. A baby, well, you know, fire or something like that with ice cream?
Ate the ice cream off the baby. God, how many times do we have to go over this?
I just do that every day. I don't know about you guys.
Yay, I made it to the street.
We've been on the streets in Season 2.
Well, we left prematurely. We're going to have to swing around back when Drive shows out.
Okay. So, moving along to the one-ups. Not a whole lot. Just been soaking in E3. Playing Mario Kart 8. I played Destiny a little bit today because of the alpha test this weekend, but it's Halo. I'll say that much. I don't know what I can say and what I can't say, so I'm just going to say everything.
That seems like the good legal choice.
It's Halo. Spoilers, if that wasn't obvious already. But so I played that a little bit today, but mostly just Mario Kart 8 and E3. That's really about it. I did get a couple boxes. I don't know. Did I mention the HLG box? No, that was in my vlog. I kept mentioning the HLG box. Did I have my Miami box last vlog? I don't know. But I got boxes and toys. That's the extent of what anyone needs to know.
Well, very secretive.
Very.
I'm being shot at by green gang members. Quick, give me that semi.
I need the talking usada lettuce really bad, no.
Did they make one?
Yeah. They made all four of them. I only had Jay because he was like $8 at Amiami that one time.
All those talking buddy roids.
And now I bought Nick and Gorosaki because of the same reason. So now I need
what about Usada? You need Usada.
They didn't have an Usada, so now
like
I'm
now.
Stock no. Mandrake for Usada.
Go buy one right now. Go find it.
There isn't any on Mandrake.
He's stocking.
I looked.
No, go find it. I don't give a shit. What are you doing still here? Go find
Usada. We're going to find you.
Okay, well, I'm being ordered to go find Usada, so I'll be right back.
Okay. Bye, Brian.
Bye-bye.
I guess it's my turn. I haven't been up to a whole lot either. Pretty much the same with E3. I've just been kind of, you know, watching the conferences, monitoring E3 stuff.
Naked.
I finished up catching up on Scandal, which was amazing. So now I can actually finally start Orange is the New Black Season 2. I intended on taking a break from Scandal to do so, but I was on such a roll that I decided to wait. I'm playing Saints Row the Third right now. I'm just kind of messing around in it. Just kind of having fun. I haven't really bought much at all. I think the only thing I ordered was the Kiwami lock seat from CS Toys, and that was it. And the end.
Awesome. Let's see. My Kiwami lock seat's coming from CS Toys. I seriously slept through activation. Well, I slept when it was activated and then was awoken 30 seconds in by a child who would not stay sleeping, fortunately for me. And then I paid Oki for my April and May shipping. That's coming registered sale because I wanted to save $20. Same thing with AmiAmi. So that stuff will be here.
Sorry. I'm dying.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm fine with that. So that stuff will be here, you know, in God knows how long. Let's see. I don't remember if I had Duke and Jinba Lemon last week, but those are here.
Boom! Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see what else is there. Today I got my those encyclopedia books for GoBusters, Forza, and Wizard.
Encyclopedia.
And then with Jinba Gaim was the Gokaiger one. I love how each one of them is differently organized. Like the Gokaiger one has like kind of bigger pictures for each of the Gokaiger suits, and the pages are kind of both about like Marvelous and the Gokairet, whereas you get the GoBusters, all five GoBuster suits are on the same page, and then the actual pages are more about Hiromu and Ryuji and all kind of pictures of them than the actual suits. It's like a little.
Hiromu was a stern fight.
It was, and then they actually did for the Gokairet when they show off the keys pretty good. But then you get to Forze, and I like how they organize the switches and little pictures, and they get to...
Oh, fuck. What? Oh, sorry. Sorry.
No, they get to the movie Tyson Mega Max, and they don't show you the medals. Like, they show you shots of every which direction of, like, Poseidon and Super Tatoba, but they don't show you the medals. They show you the medals for the riders, for, like, X and... Amazon and Stronger, but they don't show you the Super Tatoba or the Poseidon medals, and it kind of pisses me off. Because they didn't, as far as I can tell, they didn't make a book for O's. So, that kind of...
They might be in the Detailed Heroes book, I'd have to check.
Yeah, I think they are. Well, I don't know about those. I know Super Tatoba is, I don't remember if Poseidon was. Because I remember seeing them at Morphicon when you had your suit porn and we were all fapping over it.
Poseidon would have been in the Forze book. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I really
had
don't
the double book at Morphicon.
I thought you had the O's book.
That's right, I had the O's book. But Poseidon would be in the Forze book, I think. They're across the room and I don't feel like standing, so.
Like, I don't know how it works, because, like, with, like, Forze and Wizard, they both had, like, Ultimatum. But they both had, like, their segment of Ultimatum.
I'm giving you an ultimato, which means you give me the whole tomato or nothing.
Like Wizard had... You're dumb. Like, Wizard had the stuff from his segment of the crossover with Gaim in there. So, like, there was... They showed, like, the Wizard Lock Seed and all that shit. I'm like, I'm so confused at how you people decide to organize and divide these books, especially if you're not going to make one for every fucking show. But whatever. Like Brian, I've been tweaked out on E3. Like, my head's about to explode. I think it did at some point during the discussion later. But just predicting the future, because I can do that because I'm awesome. Not like we recorded out of order or anything.
No, of course not.
No, we would never do that. That'd be weird and stupid. I think that's all the stuff I got, so I'm going to pass this on to Dipshit. I mean, Aerosol.
Cough.
Aerosol's having an A1 day. He got those pretzels open.
God,
I know, right?
Damn it!
Sorry!
Son of a bitch! I've been sitting here waiting to do a joke about that, and you just... You talk over my one-ups. Pass.
Aerosol Thompson stole his only one-up.
I didn't know that was your only story.
It was the only story that mattered.
I'm sitting in the corner.
Those pretzels are everything, man. You stole them.
Pretzels are life.
You stole his everything.
That's all Dawson does. He's just a thief. He steals everyone's everything.
He's a horrible person.
Truth. So anyway, Bouncing to the news.
We're going
to
be like those kids in the bouncy houses that flew away. No? Yeah. It's funny, come on. Can you imagine? It's hilarious. They got the mileage out of that bouncy house.
No one is expecting a bounce like that.
They can, like, add it to their commercials. Be like, you want the highest bounce ever? Come to Bounce World. We'll take you straight to the sky. Sorry.
Oh, wow. So, right. There's not a whole lot going on this week, except E3, obviously, but that is later. Tokyo Toy Fair is actually going on right now. Not a whole lot there regarding the world of Toku, anyway. For Tokuger, we have some actual like toy shots of Build Dio and Choo Choo Toku Dio. So that's okay.
Choo Choo Toku is tall.
Choo Choo's got issues, but whatever. As far as new toys, there wasn't anything new until you hop over to Premium Bandai stuff. They decided that trains, everyone loves trains so much, that they will make a Chogokin Tokyo, and it's not like a Super Robot Chogokin or anything, or even like a full new Chogokin figure. It's the deluxe toy with die-cast parts. It is basically like a legacy Tokyo.
I was just going to say that. It's legacy of 1 year celebrated. Not even a year.
And I don't know if it's going to carry over to the final product. I think it is, based upon the pictures. But, like, the die-cast pieces aren't painted. So, like, the front of the anything that is under the folding part of blue and green Russia to form the feet, like, that's a die-cast piece. That's just silver. Like, it's just a metal block. I'm hoping it gets painted by the time the toy gets released, because that's going to look really fucking stupid. But that's a thing. But they did have concept art for a Chogokin Darkliner Robo, which is actually kind of cool, since that would actually be a full-on new toy. So we'll see what happens with that, if that even actually gets made. Another thing I didn't notice until I was linked to a video of the event was a set of 5 train tracks that apparently light up in the appropriate colors to replicate the rainbow line, which is kind of cool. And then this other thing that was like completely separate is these. It's just a little tiny gray piece that connects the two parts of the pink and yellow rushes to actually make it an elbow joint. How that's getting released, and if it's getting released, I have no idea, but it was there.
Just throw it in with stuff, just randomly. You get an elbow piece, you get an elbow piece, everyone gets an elbow piece.
It's like one person's random Build Dio comes with one elbow piece. So I think that about covers it for new Tokuger items. There was a couple things that we've seen recently there, like the vinyls for the Schwartz and the Crows. Gaim related, again, nothing new. We finally find out for sure that the 5th premium set is Mars, and it's officially Mars, I guess. And Kamuro. So they are getting released, and their armors and arms and all that fun stuff.
I'm telling you, we need Kamen Rider Jupiter and Saturn.
Mars, ready? Okay, Mars.
Okay.
Planet.
Okay.
Instead of the planet of Mars, it's just the rider is on his fist.
It's just Mars' face. So those are kind of neat. The lock seeds were there. They are chromed out. So that was
pretty pretty looking. They told you they go all out for the mascot of all fruit.
Oh, yeah. They were saving it just for you.
They were.
But as far as I know, that was it for Gaim. No new premium items or anything like that. And that's as far as I really care. There was a lot of Tamashii Star Wars items there.
I'm so getting that figure arts Darth Vader, you don't even know.
There was figure arts Darth Vader and Stormtroopers. There was, I don't know if they're keeping the perfect model 12-inch whatever, but they're doing a 1/12 scale Vader and Stormtrooper as well. There was a mask collection for Star Wars. There was, what's the line? Cosmo Fleet, maybe?
Wanda.
Star Wars vehicles. And there was a movie realization Vader that was designed after, like, a feudal era Japan, like, samurai. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
Strangers together.
So they're definitely going all out with the Star Wars license that they apparently recently got. Like, hey, let's do the Star Wars shit. Okay. New movie, yeah.
Finish year 2014.
Star Wars year 2014. So that's really about the extent. There was a couple, actually by a couple, I mean I've seen only one, shot of the Reveltech Turtles. I'm really conflicted on those because they're definitely the most screen accurate figure that we've got.
But Reveltechs are shit.
But Reveltechs are really the most obnoxiously annoying line of figures I've ever handled. And so I'm conflicted. I'm like, they look awesome, but they're Reveltechs. Like, why can't you be Figmas or something?
I'll probably at least get Mikey.
Yeah, I might get one, either Leo or Mikey, to see how the line is. But
I might wait till they get one and tell me how it is.
Don't tell them anything. Damn it, Brian's all friendly, and I'm like, lock it down.
I never thought I was going to tell the truth. Oh, yeah, it's great. You should get the entire team. Sells the one I have.
Here, why don't you take mine to get a head start? I can always buy another one.
But as far as I know, that was about it.
I can't think of anything else, and there hasn't really been much show news either.
Yeah.
It's been pretty slow outside of E3. Let's hope next week is better, considering there's no superhero time, so we're going to have very little to talk about.
Yeah, well, we could just sit there and talk about how awesome we are for just like an hour.
Basically, Turtles better be freaking amazing.
I'm telling you, we could just go total JDF on people and just talk about how great we are, best in the world. Like, it'll be a fun podcast next week when we do that. People will love it. Best in the world.
God. All right, so now it's time for
superhero time. Tokija, Shupa, Shinko, Kamen Rider Gaim, the Beat Riders. I actually
that's the thing now.
I did it last week because I just wanted to do it, but then I liked doing it, so I'm like, yeah, let's do it again. Why not? Fuck it.
That's how you turn gay.
My favorite intro to superhero time of all time was still when Cordelia asked Kevin a question, and I just picture him looking right at her, and he goes, like, I pictured him just doing that right in her face. Like,
I think I might have done that, actually.
Like, even if it was to the side, it's still amazing that she asked him a question and he just did that. So that's my favorite.
Like, I don't know, I just I like touching Dawson inappropriately. Like, just putting my finger on his shoulder and he gets all confused.
Dawson, did you say me too?
Wait, what?
No, never mind.
I'm sorry, I got distracted by a pink squirrel driving a car.
I thought I heard you say something.
He told me that he wants to take his pants off in public again.
That's exactly what I said.
So anyway, moving on to Tokiger.
We'll find out what his motivation is.
We're on episode 16, and we finished up the, I guess, two-part arc with Hammer Shadow.
It was really weird because they blended into each other because it was the same shadow, but they had nothing to do with each other.
They really didn't.
So like, it was a really strange. They haven't really done that in Sentai for a while, as far as I remember. They might have, and I'm just stupid. That's a possibility. But
That's a big possibility, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. I'd like to discuss that for a while. You are incredibly fucking stupid. No.
There's probably more to say on that topic than about the actual episode.
I enjoyed that train, like how you can just go from room to room, and 1 minute you're in like a restaurant, next minute you're like in the middle of some space museum. Yeah, it was fun, you know.
I kind of want that train, just...
I know, right?
All of it.
But I definitely didn't, like, see that coming, because I'm watching, like, so what are they going to do with him? They just threw him in the train and, like, strapped him down.
Some kinky shit right there.
I know, right? And then I was, the whole thing with the sister, I was like, this is kind of dumb. I hate you, Kagura. Please go away.
Like, it was just kind of a little bit of a hellhole for me, because Kagura was there, like, the entire time, and I really don't like her.
And I don't either. And the
stupid sister bitch was like, you kidnapped him. I'm like, are you for real?
Like, they're wearing brightly colored spandex. Do you really think they kidnapped your kid?
Yes.
Well.
Those would be the first suspects. I mean, they look like a gang of, like, the anti-Wiggles.
The anti-Wiggles.
Like, they look really strange, you know. Oh, great. Now I'm stuck on a dirt pile.
I'm the leader of the anti-Wiggles.
But it was just weird. And then the other three that were not, because it was her and Tokati, and the other three just sitting there scarfing their faces the entire time. Like,
that's the car that I want to be in.
They're just chowing down unlimited food. Park's
awfully tempting, but infinite food? Fuck yes.
But I liked at the end where, like, conductor gets a package. It's just like, I like how he, like, ran into the other room, like, holding it. I imagine that's what Brian does when he gets toys.
Kind of, yes.
Or Dawson when he gets a new sex doll. He's
there's 20 of them.
It was a surprise.
He just runs in the other room holding the package and, like, protecting it.
So about that, apparently the Rainbow Line has higher-ups.
It's the senior partners.
So that's a thing. This isn't just crazy-ass molester conductor.
The higher-ups are a bunch of San Francisco team
of kidnappers.
They're a bunch of San Francisco gays, okay? It's the Rainbow Line.
Like, I'm trying to figure everything out now. Not that we really
don't work too hard at it.
Place. I'm not really gonna think too hard about it. I mean,
you'll get the headache.
16 episodes in, we don't really know a whole lot. Nothing makes sense. So that accurately sums up the show right now.
Yeah, like they did that, and they're teasing because Rokugo is in the next episode, so we have to wait 2 weeks. Because fuck us.
I think it's shitty that we get a week off from Tokuger, which normally I would be celebrating, but it's the Sixth Ranger episode, and I want to see it. It's like, couldn't you have taken a week off from this episode or the last one and then just never shown them and then just done the Sixth Ranger? How about that?
No, they need to end it on a cliffhanger, but suspense.
Yeah, you know, and then on top of that, then they do that, and they have Swartz, and he's like, I got all this darkness from these kids, and it's really good darkness, and I'm going to do stuff with it. But we don't know what he's going to do with it.
We have no idea what he's going to do. Like, so we have higher-ups, we have no idea Schwartz, who they are.
What you going to do?
Schwartz has an idea that we don't even know.
Hey, Schwartz, if I could, I would be you.
And sorry. We know nothing.
Tony the Tiger's dead.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
And then Conductor does some kind of pretend transformation into Rokugo, and they, like, show off the suit, and like, ah. So I don't know what's happening there, but... And I love how the preview just gives away the entire backstory of Rokugo without... Like, I'm like, oh, well, I need to watch next week, then.
He used to be a shadow. Shadows are stupid. Oh, well, there we go.
Well, Slade would not agree.
Thanks, show.
I know, right? Slade would be like, fuck you! I'm gonna kill you, Oliver. I'm like, oh, shit.
You knew her for like 15 minutes. Settle down.
Mike.
And I want a story about Damon going to kill Oliver Queen's family because of Mike, who he never met.
That, I think, would be awesome. He has an eye patch for no reason. Like, at one point, he just lifts it up.
Oh my god, damn it, put an arrow through your eye? No, it just looks cool.
At one point, he just lifts it up. I can't see with this thing. Damn it.
Who would have thought that this eye patch makes it unable to see?
Oh,
fuck.
I think that's our cue to move on to Gaim.
Yep, it's just about that, Gaim. We start talking about eye patches. Aristotle came back and I shoot him away again. I'm sorry. The puns, they won't stop.
They need to.
It's a disease.
It's just the same pun over and over again.
Yeah, but it's just so Gaimly. It just,
no. God.
Can we remove him from the show? Can we fire him?
No.
From the chat, I think.
Brian, do we still have that machine from the anniversary episode? Can we drop him in one of the timelines?
I dismantled it.
Drop him in the happy timeline. I hate
no!
that place. this week is done.
I'm just imagining that, I'm sorry.
Things moved rather quickly. Like, they've already evacuated the town, and the whole world knows that Yggdrasil is essentially, you know, terrorists.
And, the World Council of British people were speaking to Ryoma. He sounded normal.
British.
Well, whatever he was. He wasn't American.
His accent was, like, Aussie.
But my observation with that is that he sounded normal. But when they have someone that like has an American accent, they make us sound like our tongues are full, and I don't understand.
Am I the only person that like had to read the subtitles to figure out, like, wait, he's speaking English on my show?
I understood him and read it just to be sure.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what is he saying?
The only reason I couldn't really understand what he was saying was because of the weird voice effect that they gave them during that scene.
Yeah,
it was like
amazing.
Really like robot-y.
And then the lights, it was
but it was kind of neat to see like how big this thing is, like, because we're so used to being in this city, and just to seeing that you know, all the different branches of Yggdrasil and how now the whole planet's in panic.
I like
crazy.
How the three of them are arguing, and Ryoma comes in and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh yeah, I was hanging out. Oh, by the way, fuck you guys.
What are you doing? I just got back from my play. I got out of the suit. It's pretty great. I want to mention it before I forget it, because I did notice it. George is talking about how no one noticed it, but Kota is turning into a greed. He cannot taste. Well, he said people weren't mentioning it, not saying you. I wasn't saying, Aerosol, you're a failure and you didn't notice.
No, I'm just saying whatever.
You're saying nothing.
I want to turn into a greed.
But that was interesting because for some reason I thought it reminded me of Kenzaki. I'm like, no, it reminds me of something more recent. And then I remembered Edgy started losing senses and color and all that. And then all of a sudden I remembered Dr. Maki all of a sudden pulling his hands up and seeing the greed hands and screaming, which really had nothing to do with it, but it was just in my flashes of memory and it was hilarious. And then after that was the memory of him saying, Baba Mali! Which has nothing to do with Gaim, but just an entertaining scene. It was.
I'm curious to see where they take it. If they take it in the same way that Oz did, or the same way that Blade did, or a new direction. I don't know.
Yeah, because right now, in this episode in particular, I noticed a lot of similar elements to previous series. Like with that... that whole turning into a monster plot was Blade, and this one in particular reminded me of Oz because of the whole losing senses thing, and also with the conversation he had with Marika about having to end up fighting Baron, aka Knight, which reminded me a lot of Ryuki because Shinji always kind of wanted to avoid the fact that he was going to have to fight Len.
Yeah,
wait, Ren.
Well,
sorry.
Blade was like that as well.
Yeah, and so I just kind of... I mean, there's been similar elements in it throughout, but this episode has really reminded me of it, because I'm really curious to see how it plays out, though, because something I like about Coda is that he reminds me of what I liked about Shinji, which was his resolve to protect people. But Shinji, like, was not able to do what's necessary, and Coda, to an extent, has been more able to and more willing to go out there and do more necessary things. So I'm kind of curious how it'll play out, since he just seems a little bit more ballsy in some ways.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you know, we see all these different elements, and it's funny because the last 4 years have had, like, the same formula. And here's a different formula, but they do have those, like, just little touches of the past. And I don't know if it's I guess it's to a degree it's intentional. I don't know if it's because it's, like, the 15th Heisei anniversary kind of deal, because they don't really talk about that too much except for that whole crossover movie.
I don't think they were intending to celebrate an anniversary in that.
But, I mean, like, I do think it's intentional to just touch on, because they did talk about, you know, the beginning, like, oh, the older Heisei, like, going back to that. So you got, that's why you have, you know, they have touches of Ryuki, and you can see it. And it actually works fairly well with this show. At least I think so. But I like how he still uses, like, Jimba Gaim. Like, Jimba Lemon.
It's balanced. I like that. I mean, he kind of hardly uses Pine and Ichigo, but I like that he still continues to use Jimba, and he used Kachidoki in this one, and I'm going to assume we'll still see it. So I actually like that he keeps using it.
Yeah, he doesn't just automatically go, oh, look, I have Kiwami.
Kachidoki, because I think he has to be Kachidoki.
Well, yeah, but we'll see it for more than a few seconds. And in particular, I think we'll see it if he finds out that turning into Kiwami is taking away his taste buds, because he's going to be like, bitch, I love my cornflakes. Kiwami. Kiwami arms. That's like the streets version.
That's the Captain Planet version. But, like, yeah, he'll try to actively avoid
Aerosol
it.
Aerosol talk!
Sorry.
No, he's been through enough! Feel bad about outing his pretzel story.
I was going to go off of just the whole, like, similar elements thing. One that I have kind of noticed isn't so much like something that happens in the show, but kind of how the story is unfolding. With its focus on our three main characters, Coda, Kaido, and Michi. For whatever reason, it didn't dawn on me till recently that it feels similar to Agito. How Agito kind of, it didn't always focus on all three of them at once. It kind of bounced around. So yeah. You'd have a period of time where you're only focusing on Shoichi, and then eventually you kind of back away from him and you focus on Gills or, you know, so on. And I've noticed that because recently we've gotten more focus on Kaido, which I've actually been really enjoying. And we've had less focus on Michi, which, you know, several weeks back, it was pretty much the opposite. We had way less focus on Kaido and way more focus on Michi. It's interesting that it's also kind of borrowing that sort of storytelling element in how it's managing its focus on its main characters. Because they're never completely gone, but they are just, you know, not focused on as much.
I'm surprised I didn't notice that, because that's one of the things I really liked about Agito, is how they would shift between characters, and I felt that, for the most part, all three of them got a pretty fair balance of focus. And Gaim's been pretty good at that in terms of the main characters.
Well, I would say it's pretty good. It's probably not as good as it could be, because Kaido does still get the shaft a bit.
Yeah.
Like, in this episode, we had his whole little discussion with Mai, and
one true pairing.
And, you know, we've had that before, but we really haven't had a lot of it. That's only been brought up a few times prior to this. Which I think is somewhat unfortunate, because those moments are like the major moments that Mai and Kaido get to kind of, you know, develop.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate that we haven't seen as many of them, but I do like that we are at least still getting them. I like the scene from this week. Not only because it focused on the two of them, but it also kind of did something different that from how previous shows have done it, where, you know, normally you have the main character and so many people are like drawn to him. Like that was the whole focus of Forze, is that all these people are sort of drawn to Gintaro. But here it's not Coda that's, you know, bringing in all of these people and sort of, you know, changing them, I guess. It's actually Kaido, which is like the least likely person of the bunch to be doing that. But I like it. You know, I like this idea that because of his attitude and because of just the way he does things, his philosophy, he actually kind of inspires people to a certain extent. And when you look back on some of the events over the course of the series, it's like he's been doing that kind of the whole time. Like, you know, early episodes, he consolidated all of the dance teams. Then skip ahead a bit and you have when Bravo showed up, Bravo was, Kaido was the only one that Bravo showed any amount of respect to. And then skip ahead a little bit more, and Marika has this like semi obsession with Kaido now. Like he tends to, I guess, get on the good side of people despite being such like an arrogant asshole.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, he sort of inspires people, and I kind of like that trait in him, because you don't really expect it. You don't expect it to be in Kaido. You expect it to be like with Coda, because he's such a happy-go-lucky guy. But
yeah. In one way, I kind of feel bad for Coda that he's not the one that people are gathering around, just because he's the one that's been trying to save people the whole show, and he's gone through a lot. And then it's Baron that gets it, and he's primarily been focusing on strength. And I like that it's different, but you almost kind of feel bad for him. But I think the whole Kaito sort of being able to gather the Armored Riders and sort of become the sort of leader they've been talking about the past couple episodes, I think that might serve for the next few episodes based on the previews and everything of, and also going back to his conversation with Marika, Koda's conversation of he has to be Baron if he wants to be the one. And I think there was a line in like one of the previews of Coda was like, well, what if it's Kaido? And I think that'll be interesting, is that I don't think Coda cares if he's the one to save people so long as people are saved. So I think that might kind of play out in the next few episodes, of he might try to let Coda or Kaido do it. Their names are so close together, damn it. And it'll be interesting because obviously Coda is the main character and he's got the seed of the forbidden fruit, but it'll just be interesting to see, because Kaito is the one sort of leading the people right now and has the respect. And I honestly don't think Coda cares who does it, so long as somebody saves humanity.
Yeah.
I just like watching them, that whole little team up scene, just cause they started out, I don't want to say hating each other, but they started out fighting because of the whole like Beat Riders thing, and then the Energy Riders came in to like, okay, we're gonna put you guys down because we're kind of gonna run the things here. And then now here's Marika; she's kind of joined them, and they just kind of all bonded together. You know, Bravo and Knuckle and Baron and Gaim, and it's just kind of nice to see them actually working together. For once, like, as fun as the Rider and Rider fights were, seeing them join up for a common cause, I mean, we all figured it would happen at some point, but it's just kind of nice.
Rider
and
Rider fights, as long as Michi's out there.
Well, yeah, because Michi's a little fuck. But
I was organizing my arm change figures today, and I was like, so I could sort of doing it by who's working together is one of my ideas, and I'm like, Michi working with nobody. He's going in the corner by himself.
He pouts like a little kid in the corner. Like he gets beat up by Gaim, and he's like, "God damn it, another power up! What the fuck?" He's getting all
like, you know, that whole thing where they were fighting, and he, you know, went Kiwami, and he was like, "God damn it!" That reminded me of when I'm playing Pokemon, and like I'm on the champion or whatever, and if I'm having a hard match or something, and I think, all right, one more Pokemon, then it's done, and then you forget that there's a last Pokemon, like, all right, I beat the champion, and it's like, champion sent out Milotic. Damn it! That's what it reminded me of, is that he's like, finally, I will beat him! Kiwami Arms! Son of a bitch! Just, it reminded me of that Milotic that constantly heals itself with Aqua Ring, and I'm like, die! Die! And just, that's what it reminded me
of. And then Kota was like, die, die, Maru, so it's all good. I do love Kiwami. It's one of my favorite things ever. Like,
the fight was really fun in this episode. He dual-wielded Sonic Arrows! How badass is that?
He dual-wielded everything. Kagematsu, Sonic Arrows.
He kicked a little hammer at him and used the shield.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but the cool thing about the Kagematsu dual-wield was that I'm pretty sure one of them was the one from Kurokage Shin, and the other one was the one from normal Kurokage.
That's what it looked like to me.
I didn't notice that. I was like, ooh, blades.
God damn it, Dawson.
I like how fucking Bravo just kind of like comes out of nowhere and is basically just this flamboyant plot device at this point. And is like, that ass is not his. That is not his ass. And then Coda's like, oh, what the fuck?
It was kind of, you know, randomly thrown in there to get the plot going. But I like that it was him that did it, and it kind of made sense, given his fascination with Zangetsu throughout the whole series.
It was really the only thing that they could do. And it's beautiful, because it's not completely out of left field. I mean, he appeared out of left field. But they were completely building up to this thing that Bravo has this fascination with Takatora.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, Dad's not Takatori. He's shorter, and he's got a flat butt.
I like that how him. Just as fast as he appeared, he fell over the railing and then was never seen again. He was just like, oh, and then he was gone.
Well, I really enjoyed that he comes in, does that, and like we said, it was perfect the way we made it to kind of reveal it to Coda. But Coda takes it as fact, without question. He's like, oh, well, if anyone would know, it's this guy, because he's like got this raging boner for Zangetsu, so he would know if it's an imposter or not. And he's like, I take your word for it, good sir. And at the end of the fight, he's like freaking out, like, how could this guy do this? Like, there's Gaim trying to, like, in that epic, like, Kamen Rider stance, and there's Bravo behind him, like, waving his arms like a crazy man. I just thought that was pretty funny.
Even if they didn't, like, set up the whole Bravo's obsession with Zangetsu thing, they did at least establish quite a while back that he was a trained soldier, so it would be understandable why Bravo could tell the difference between someone's movements during battle.
Yeah.
And you know, as much as I like that he was the one to sort of, you know, reveal it to Coda, it sort of bothers me that he would believe him, and the Kaido believes that if he told Coda about it, then he wouldn't believe him. I think that he would.
Well, no. What Kaido was saying is that if Kaido flat out said that Michi's behind all of this, Coda in no way would believe that it's Michi.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see
that. If Kaido said, dude, I don't think that's the same guy, he'd probably believe him. But if he said, Coda, that's Michi and he's trying to kill you, he'd go, dude, you're fucking crazy. Michi would never try to kill me.
I guess I could see, because Michi hasn't really done anything in Coda's eyes. But it's just, I feel like Kaido and Coda have this trust right now. And it just, why would Kaido try to mess with them like that? From Coda's perspective, you know, why would he try to say something like that?
Yeah, well, there's that point. Especially considering that, like, their whole reason for being at odds to begin with has been lower since about episode 15. Because we cut out the whole street dancing gimmick, but you know, and then Baron was like, I'm quitting this team, I'm going to do my own thing for power. So, you know, I don't know, but that's kind of how they have it set up. So
the Michi reveal is going to be so sweet, though. Like, I thought that, I mean, we sort of started on the track now with him realizing that's not Takatora, but it's like, I almost think that it might happen in the last few episodes. It's just, it's going to be so sweet when it happens. I kind of want it to happen, like, I want Takatora to come back with his regular Zangetsu armor, and, like, I want Takatora and a Gaim to be fighting Zangetsu Shin and then to find out at the same time. It would be such a delicious moment. I feel like Andy waiting for David Wallace to show up.
That's true.
Such anticipation. Come on, David Wallace. You can do it.
Because he doesn't know either. Like, he would see it and be like, dude, who the fuck's wearing my armor?
Yeah, because he doesn't know Michi's a little shit either. Because he's like, Michi, carry on my legacy. And Michi's like, die, I want your armor. But cause he was more conflicted than that. But still, he had no idea that Michi was in the back of his mind working, how can I spin this?
That would be pretty epic. Now I want to see that. God damn it.
But it's got to be so good. I mean, this has been going for a long
time.
That's
what she said.
I mean, practically the whole series, the Michi's... I mean, he's developed like farther and farther into this...
Yeah.
Like mastermind, but I mean,
heck, he's gotten to the point where it's no longer I'm doing this, I'll do whatever it takes to protect my friends or whatever. It's now, you know, my allies are the only allies I have are the people who do what I tell them to.
Yeah.
Like that was such a line. Like for real.
That's the
man.
Kind of thing I would say.
Kevin's the Michi of our group.
Got no allies in us because I ain't listening to shit.
but yeah, I mean, because he was just willing to work with the Invest for however long it serves him, and now he really kind of, that whole charade of it being about Maya is gone. It's just whatever furthers his purpose, you know, working with Sid, now working with the other guy whose name I don't bother learning their names. I'm going to call him Fruit Loops because he looks like it. Fruit Loops.
Like, Michi's full on snapped. Like, he's like laughing maniacally for no reason whatsoever. And he's basically in this whole mindset now that is like, oh, well, world domination sounds fun.
It does.
It's so good. Like, it's going to be, the payoff has to be so sweet.
It does sound really, really good. I'm enjoying all kind of things with your mother, and I'm not really sure where I'm going with this, except the fact that I'm talking really, really softly. So yeah, that's kind of what we're doing now. Hey there, Brian.
Hi. One thing I do want to mention real quick that I wanted to mention earlier, but we kind of had a discussion going, and I didn't really want to bother it. I'm kind of curious if anything's going to happen between Mai and Kaito. And
oh, they're totally going to bang.
What
and then...
happens when Michi finds out? Because Michi was over here really pissed off at Kota because Mai had a more interest in Kota than him. And now, like, Mai's interest basically lies more in Kaito than anything else. And so I'm kind of curious on what's going to happen there. It might not even amount to anything, but
yeah,
it's still
sure.
Really funny to me.
I think he still thinks about Mai, but I feel like his that whole like mask is gone. I feel like it was just an excuse for what he was doing.
It's well past that.
But I'm sure that something that like that would still piss him off in a way. Like, I don't think she doesn't completely matter to him, but... it's always been about power for Michi, I think. Going back to when his brother was telling him he had to take over and he wanted to be his own man, and now he's like, you know what kind of man I'm going to be? Evil.
I think what's going to happen is that Michi is going to like walk in like to a room, and they're going to be laying in bed together naked. And you're like, oh shit, yeah. Michi. And then he's going to be like devastated and doing his little freak out things.
This is Gaim, not Dallas.
Damn. Well, then I don't know. I don't know.
Like, what I really want to see happen is us go back and talk to our past selves looking at the first Gaim poster and tell our past selves, hey, look at that grape guy in the corner. He's going to potentially be the final villain. He's one of the candidates. I just seriously, it's still, like, we bring it up all the time, but it baffles me, because, like, you see the picture of him, and his first description was Coda's friend, the other member of Team Gaim, generic sidekick, not evil mastermind.
And also Takatora's brother, I mean, they mentioned that, but it wasn't like, we'll turn into a psychopath halfway through show. Oh, really? Well, that's interesting.
Because I kind of pictured it as, oh, he'll be Coda's friend, he'll be conflicted between his brother and Coda. I never expected it to be, he'll manipulate his brother and Coda. And Greedon's going to be important. That was the other lie.
Well, there are a few
everything
lies.
Everything about
but...
the early, like, information releases was pretty misleading.
Yeah, it's strange what they included.
Which I'm completely fine with.
I'm just like, why Greedon, though? Just why did they pick him? They could have picked Kurokage or Bravo just as easily to go up with the first press release.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, but when I get one, I will come back and I'll give it to you.
All right. I'm waiting.
Don't wait too long because I might murder you.
Okay. I hate that we have to wait a week. I'm totally fine with a week without Tokyo Drift, but a week without Gaiman's like torture.
I know, it kind of pisses me off. It really does. Like,
I got to know.
I just don't want to.
At least it wasn't like a cliffhanger, like anything that was like really painful to watch the last few seconds, knowing you weren't going to be able to see it for 2 weeks.
I just don't want to go a week without Kiwami Arms, like cycling through those weapons and killing fuckers with his badassery.
Can play with your toy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can. And I will, trust me. I will play with my toy.
Yeah, that was coming. That's what she said.
So does she.
There's two of them now.
There's two what now? Her? No, there's only one person next to me. I don't know what the fuck's your problem. I don't get that kind of luck.
I think we've lost this conversation.
Yeah. I like how we never just end conversations normally. We peter out into insanity.
Alright, so now
it's
time for a very short Garo's Corner.
Wait, that's the thing, huh?
Garo's Corner. And I touched the stupid thing on the side of the Mega Ring, and now it's going to make stupid beepy noises at me.
Ultimate Swampert!
Ultimate Swamp Fire.
This episode was all about Gonza, which
getting
was
his first day off in decades.
In what is basically forever.
3 generations is how long he's served.
Poor fucker. It's like, oh, I haven't got one of those in a long time, and then later Zaraba points out that he was the first one. To ever give him a day off. I'm like, whoa, shit. He's a hardcore butler. But there really isn't a whole lot to say. It was a mix of just kind of getting a fun story featuring Gonza, since he really doesn't get a whole lot. And then basic side plot of it was just all trying to humanize Meguri. That was really the basis of it.
Yeah, I would put fun in quotation marks there.
did I say the word fun?
Yeah, fun story.
Oh, I definitely didn't mean it.
Well, it's not a bad episode. I think last week was much worse. We've had some bad episodes in this season. This wasn't a bad episode, just nothing really happened. Like you said, it was a lot of just trying to humanize Mayuri by making her soup.
Apparently she's easily distracted by the little moving pictures that Makai priests can make. That was basically the basis of this.
Yeah.
Let's make a good soup and make sure you got one of the little movie things in her bowl because she'll love the shit out of it. That was basically the extent of it.
It's also kind of odd that they actually collected one of those shards in this episode.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even a fight.
There really wasn't. They just slashed it and it died.
The only other minor, like very minor, thing I wanted to point out was towards the end. This woman that Gonza meets up with on his day out was a former Makai priest, and you know she does the little like inscription thing or whatever to make the plate have that fancy design, and Gonza says that now that's 2 secrets they have to keep or something like that. Yeah. So I'm curious what the other one is. I wonder if it has anything to do with Gunza's seeming to be immortal, I guess. I don't know.
I'm immortal.
Oh, man. I'm sure you are.
I completely forgot about the fact that the fucker really doesn't age.
He's served 3 generations of this family. I don't think that's possible.
Oh, man. Now I'm curious. I didn't even fucking think about that. I'm just like, oh, whatever. Guns episode, hooray.
I don't think I even looked at the preview for next week. Oh, no, I did. It's called Manga.
Oh, yeah. It's about a manga guy, obviously.
Yay.
No shit.
The word is pronounced manja.
I can assure you it isn't.
You people are so stupid.
It's pronounced manju. I don't know what you're talking about. that was really about it for the episode. That's all I got.
Yeah.
You actually had more than I had, so.
Brian likes manjus. Whereas Dawson hates them.
Now it's time for Rambly Rambly 3 time.
Trenton for life! Sorry.
I made it work.
Both of you are a bunch of fucks.
That's what we did.
I know. You love us.
So our special E3 talk, which is a week too early because we have nothing to talk about next week. Seriously, send in your ideas. Could be a local headline, anything. We're looking for ideas.
Anything.
Just anything at all.
It could be various masturbation techniques used by peoples of the world. We could talk about that.
We've almost done that before. So.
True story.
We had Canadian sex acts at one time. That was.
We did.
True story.
Dawson prefers the stranger.
Stranger danger. So. E3 shenanigans kicked off with Microsoft.
Was I the only one that watched that?
I tried. I got
really bored. Why do you have ears?
I got really bored.
It was a good conference. They had Halo. I love Halo.
Like, outside of... Okay, well, first of all, if anyone doesn't actually know, I don't have any sort of Xbox. So I don't really care.
Me either. Whoop, whoop.
But I did really like Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that was going to be pretty cool looking since it's made by the people that did Ratchet & Clank.
And, of course, I had an original Xbox, so I did play Halo. I did play Halo 2, and I really do love the franchise. But I haven't played anything after that because I didn't have a 360 and don't have an Xbox One.
Mighty Ducks 4 is a possibility.
I like the concept of 1 through 4 all in one package for only $60. That's a great deal.
Especially with all the multiplayer maps in there, too.
I don't think those two games alone are enough to make me want to get one. But that thought is always there, because I did really enjoy what I saw from both of those. But outside of those two games, there really wasn't anything else for me.
I was pretty stoked about Tomb Raider.
Oh, right. I forgot that was Microsoft's conference.
That might, oddly enough, be the game I'm most excited about from all of E3. Like, I really like Tomb Raider 1, like, a lot. So I was pretty... Like, I knew that they were going to say something about it, probably, but I didn't really expect it there for some reason, which I'm not sure why. Which is kind of a lot of what E3 was, is that very rarely do you have games you didn't know about, but I like when there's at least games you know about, but we've seen nothing of yet. And that's like the first time you get to see something from it, which was the case with this, which was cool.
Yeah, I do really, I loved the first Tomb Raider, so...
I'm Katniss, bitch.
I'm all over this one. I hope there's a bow. Because that was the only weapon I fucking used.
And I'm pretty stoked about that Halo collection, but the only thing that annoyed me about it is that I haven't gotten a chance to start my Halo 1 remastered yet. So I'm essentially going to own the...
it's fucking pointless.
Yeah, exactly. So now I own the game 3 times. Might as well go alongside the re-release of Ratchet & Clank. So even more HD. But I'm pretty excited about that, and there was no real gameplay for it, but the trailer for Halo 5 looked really cool. And I'm probably the only one here that's actually looking forward to the new Call of Duty, because it actually looks pretty cool.
Duty.
I was trying to think if there's anything else
that
in there.
That was the one with like, the flying bugs and shit, right?
Hey, Dawson. Awesome.
The
awesome.
Robot bugs.
Oh, yeah, because it's more futuristic. What?
Why did the hero flush the toilet? Because it was his duty.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
But I thought it was a good conference, though. I mean, it was better than last year's. They clearly wanted to focus on the game since they got so much backlash from it last year. So I thought they did a solid job.
Well, considering last year didn't feature any games at all.
I'm not saying it was awful. It was just that there was so little that I'll say it. Personally enjoy that I couldn't really get through it all, and then I got bored.
But I was excited.
I went to sleep, and I was at work.
Okay. Well, speaking of asleep, EA tried a new, like, hey, we're not done with any of our games, so let's just film The Office format. Not like the show. That would have been more entertaining. If they had just shown me an episode of The Office, I would have dug that. But they started off good in the sense that I'm looking forward to the new Battlefront game, and some of the character models looked really good. And then they talked with BioWare, and I don't really care about Dragon Age, but I'm excited that they're making another Mass Effect game. But they literally had nothing to show other than, hey, we're working on a Mass Effect game. That was like the premature baby of E3 game announcements.
Hey, we're doing this.
And then it's like they started off with things I was interested in, and then they're like, let's talk about hockey. I'm like, you're not even talking about a normal sport. They talked about like all the fringe sports. They're like, hockey, 15, soccer, lacrosse. Like, what are you doing? It got really boring after that.
I'm smoking pot, dude.
Yeah, I jumped in EA's conference really late, and unfortunately I missed all like the good parts. I went back and saw them, but when I finally got home and turned the TV on to EA's press conference, it was just like, hey, look at all this sports crap and dancing. And like,
it was funny.
I don't care about any of you.
I was watching IGN's, like, they do trailer breakdowns, and they were doing it for Battlefront, and, like, they're trying to show some of the little bits of, like, models we got for the game, and then all of a sudden they get to the clip of the people walking slowly into the office. They're like, and here we have people walking in slow motion into offices. This isn't part of the game. But yeah, it was pretty boring. EA's conferences are never that good.
Yeah, EA as a whole, like, does very little I like.
Yeah, because it's mostly sports.
Like, EA Sports. I'm like, yeah, sports are stupid.
The only EA Sports game I ever liked was SSX Tricky.
That was a good game.
But yeah, the only other thing that was of slight interest to me was Mirror's Edge 2. I never finished it, but I did enjoy the first one. It was pretty fun. And then we had Ubisoft's, which was also kind of a disappointment, because Ubisoft's done a pretty solid job the last 2 years. In fact, I think 2 years ago they won E3 for me. And this year was pretty.
I don't remember that far back.
That was like, it was a weird year, but I remember them doing at least a good job the last 3 years, and this year was very strange. I found it to be entertaining, because I like Aisha Tyler hosting. They have a very casual attitude about it, which I actually personally like, because a lot of the times the conferences will seem like award show banter, and that one felt very laid back, which I appreciated. But I think the only thing that I was interested in from them was the Assassin's Creed stuff.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot there at that one.
Because then all of a sudden they started doing push-ups and bringing, like, Americans with ascots on.
And there was the, like, rip-off DDR. Like, dance on a piano, and I'm like, I don't want to dance on a piano.
And that weird bearded man running in place on stage.
Yeah.
Like, it was an entertaining conference, but they just didn't show anything I cared about. Oh, was that the one that ended on that like, house game where they were, like, breaking into someone's house to save her? I think so. Yeah,
because
it was Rainbow Six.
But yeah.
But that was pretty funny. I love how Aerosol said, I like how this isn't a compound or like a secure area. This is just some lady's house they're doing this in. And it was pretty funny. Like, that lady was just having a bad day.
They're going to owe that lady a new house.
Seriously. Like, she's going to be mad. You say, I saved your life. Yeah, but my house. My sconces, man.
I want to break into some lady's house.
You would.
For it. And then murder her violently.
Okay.
Well, then.
These are the kind of sound bites people look for when they want to frame you for murder. Just saying. I watch TV. I know how life goes.
Well, that's why people know that I am Dawson Ryder.
Oh, Lord. I forgot about that bit. Anyway. So then we had Sony's, which was unfortunately not hosted by the best guy in the world, Jack Tratton.
Me? Oh, shit.
He was commentating the whole time, and I missed his hand movements. The new guy's hands were super glued together. I like how you kept retweeting him. Pocky Bandit kept having the same thoughts we did. Like, he's like, why are these guys' hands super glued together? Like, seriously, he would not take them apart. And then we had Oompa Loompa Man leading the charge. Or as Aristotle calls him, Tiny Hands Man.
I really don't like that guy.
Yeah, neither do I. He's kind of hard to listen to because he talked the most. And he was pretty hard to listen to. But they had a pretty good conference. They had quite a few things I was interested in. It wasn't quite as good as last year's, but they really couldn't beat last year's because it was a huge console reveal and all that whatnot. And something I sort of noticed at the time, but it was pointed out to me when I was watching actually Rev3 Games, like talking about it, how like the tonal shift of everything. Like, oh shit, what did they show? I think they showed the Infamous trailer for the new DLC, and then all of a sudden Little Big Planet was on stage, like with no announcement. And then when Little Big Planet ended, they showed blood porn. And like they kept shifting like with no like break, which I guess actually I forgot to mention that was one nice thing Microsoft did, is they had those little interviews in between, because it was essentially trailer after trailer, but they had the things to break it up instead of being like, little fat adorable sex, blood porn. So it was very strangely structured. But the fat guy in Little Big Planet is the most adorable thing ever, and I want to pleasure him. And I'm looking forward to more Infamous DLC because I seriously did everything in that game. I still want electric powers, though, Brian. I want them. I want them back.
You'll get there.
Blood Porn, what else? They showed, oh, that new game. Oh, was it No Man's Sky?
Yeah.
That looked really interesting.
That was probably the biggest surprise.
Yeah, because I didn't hear about it. I haven't heard anything about it.
Because, I mean, Uncharted 4 was probably one of my highlights, because I love that franchise so much, but it was something that was very kind of expected.
Yeah.
The Infamous download content was cool, too, don't get me wrong, but I like it when you're watching a conference and then something pops up that you're just completely not expecting.
Yeah,
and No Man's Sky was that for me. It was, it's a really cool concept that I hope is executed really well.
Yeah, because I'm not even sure what type of game it is either.
I don't know. I think it's some sort of shooter, maybe. But then you're in space flying an X-wing. I don't know.
Well, it was just, I've never seen anything like that before, where you're on a planet in an environment, and then you go up to space, this huge environment without loading. Mm-hmm. And then you could land on an entirely different planet. And it was all without loading. It was. I've never seen anything like that. That's crazy. It'll be interesting to see how big it is and how much that sticks. And what type of game it is. Like, I'll have to do some research. Like, what if you're just picking flowers on other planets? I don't know. But the what they showed was pretty incredible. Like, it was funny how much I was waiting for Uncharted. Like, when they started showing the GTA 5 footage, I thought it was Uncharted for a second. Because they started with, like the sort of landscapes, I'm like, Uncharted. And all of a sudden, one of the characters from GTA 5 gets up. I was like, damn it. You're not Nathan Drake.
You're not even new.
But yeah, they did show a little teaser for Uncharted, and I am looking forward to that immensely. And there wasn't any gameplay or anything, but the cutscene they showed looked really good. Based on the title, it sounds like it might be the last one, or at least the last one of Nathan Drake's.
That's what I heard, that this was going to be the end of, at least the end of his story. They kind of said it like the end of Uncharted, but I think if the game's still selling well, they'll probably branch off into a new story of some sort.
Yeah, because I wouldn't be opposed to like this one finishing Nathan Drake's Uncharted and then taking a little break for a bit and then coming back and maybe having a new main character and a new take on it. Because I like what they said in an interview from quite a while ago about how they only wanted to make it when they knew they could make something new and exciting and not just, like, milk it.
Right.
Whereas I really enjoyed Uncharted 3, but I felt like that one was done really fast. Like, it just wasn't as good for me as 2. And I felt like that was a really fast turnaround for them, and that's probably why there hasn't been one in a long time. So, it's not that it was a bad game, it's just I thought 2 was better. But I'm really looking forward to it, especially seeing how it looks on PS4. Ratchet and Clank movie is also there. Do you know they're doing a Sly movie? Did you ever watch the trailer for that? They didn't show it at
E3. I thought I did a while back.
That's pretty neat. No, they just need a Jack and Daxter movie.
This wasn't at Sony's
conference. I'm so naked.
And it's completely random. I bet you are. Is the Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
I heard about that.
That's really weird. So now we got like a Sly movie in production, Ratchet and Clank in production, Sonic the Hedgehog in production.
The Halo movie that's been in production for like 10 years.
Yeah, I'll see that when I bleed.
When I bleed?
Flip that around.
I can make you bleed. I'll do that.
I'll believe that when I see it.
And apparently there's also like an Assassin's Creed one and a Last of Us one, which I think is unnecessary because it kind of takes away from the point of The Last of Us. And then same thing with the Uncharted one, because it's sort of partially designed to be a video game, like, as if you're playing a movie blockbuster and then you make a movie about it. It just seems like so counterintuitive.
But Lunsford really, really wants to be in it.
Yeah. Lunsford wants to be in everything.
Look, Lunsford's a celebrity. We found that out.
He was so famous he had to play Smash Brothers.
I heard about that. I'm like, was it real Lunsford or sleeping Lunsford? Can you imagine if he had fought against
sleeping
Lunsford? The tale of two Lunsfords. One of them was Lunsford Lord Jr., and we didn't even know it.
We haven't done those references in a while.
Nope. John will probably get to this sometime in 2016. Hey, 2016, John. Scandal was awesome.
Do you have anything to say about the Sony conference that you may or may not have went back and watched?
I did go back and watch it.
Oh, yay, fuck, it's aerosol. You recovered from the HIV. Thank God. Brian gave you HIV.
That was such an awkward typo.
I would like to say that I legitimately didn't notice until Dawson pointed it out. Then I felt
because
really
I glanced over, because I was tweeting through my iPad while watching. I glanced over and said, then it HIV him back to me. And then I'm like, whoa. I did not know aerosol got AIDS.
I like how my phone corrected give to HIV.
Makes me wonder what you're typing to people, Brian.
I saw that and I was racking my brain trying to figure out whether or not like HIV stood for something else that I just wasn't getting.
That was good. I had to bring that up.
But yeah, I did go back and watch it. It wasn't super spectacular. I guess because I can't really get hyped without, you know, actually owning the console. But I did really enjoy No Man's Sky. I really want to play that. I really want to see if it kind of, you know, lives up to what it's promising.
Yeah.
Jeez, what else? I was excited with to see gameplay footage of Mortal Kombat X.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Just
it's like super brutal.
Yeah.
It was like violent medical school. They were showing like how things break.
One of the fatalities is just Scorpion like breathing fire and, you know, incinerating part of his chest and then reaching in and like breaking the spinal cord in half with his bare hands. It's crazy brutal, but I love that.
I'd rather do that in real life.
I can't think of what else they announced. I just watched it a little bit earlier today.
We talked Uncharted. I don't know if you played those games.
I haven't played any of the Uncharted ones. It looked good.
They did show that PlayStation TV thing too. And their virtual reality thing.
And all of you guys kept calling Bendis Kingpin, or I think you called him Penguin.
Penguin came on stage, and then the Batman trailer they showed, what's her name? Oracle calls Batman. She's like, I found Penguin. I'm like, we're like, we know it. He's on stage. Yeah. The presenters were so funny. I mean, we miss Jack Tretton and his hand movements.
I like the new guy.
The Oompa Loompa dude?
Or new Jack Tretton.
The guy with his fingers glued together?
He had, like, the political thumbs up.
Yeah. Almost the same thing that Obama does when he gives speeches. I always notice that he puts his fingers together when he's making a point. I notice weird things. Don't judge me.
You also noticed that you're a penis.
You know, that's right.
Your mother.
I think we were just talking about if there's anything else to mention for Aerosol. I don't think there was very much else.
Aerosol's naked right now.
Batman does look really awesome. It's too bad it's delayed.
It was definitely a lengthy conference. It was the longest of all of them.
I didn't expect it to go that long.
I'm like, it was also definitely a lengthy penis.
The last Sony conference that I felt like was going on a really long time was the one where they went over Wonder Book. And I remember, like, I was like, Brian, I can't remember a time this wasn't happening.
That thing
our whole lives have been Wonder Book.
Yeah. It came out. It was on clearance at Target for a while.
I don't remember what game it was, but it was terrible because it had a really soft launch, but it came out next to a really big AAA game. For the life of me, I can't remember what it was, but it got so dwarfed because it was like one of those games where like all the ads in the newspapers and everywhere like blowed up real big and they're like, buy it here and we give you free hand jobs and stuff. And it's like every...
Wait, I want that game.
And then like in the tiny corner you'd see, oh yeah, this Wonder Book stuff's coming out. Also, you can get the Princess Bride for $4. Like it was in that section. poor Wonder Book. I'm trying to break in.
In all fairness, that conference seemed longer than normal to Dawson because it involved a book, so...
Exactly. I started getting very tired.
Books and games? Fuck this shit.
Dawson's the whole reason they don't include instruction manuals anymore.
He just...
With my petition.
I saw...
He led the campaign against it.
Quite a few people just really liked the Dead Island 2 trailer.
Oh, that was so confusing.
I mean, it was kind of amusing, but I'm just like, I don't see the vast appeal of it. You know, it's a zombie game. I kind of figured like what the game was just by the trailer before they, you know, showed the name.
I thought it was Dead Rising for a second, then I realized it was Impossible. But I remember Brian and I were really confused when we were watching it. Like, it's just this guy in this white jacket just kind of having an A1 day. He's like, fuck yeah, I'm so awesome. I'm going to get pumped. And like,
JDF.
And then he turns into a zombie and his toupee falls off and his bicep implants fall out. And
JDF?
I forgot about that.
Not much else.
Oh, the last thing, they did show the Order 1887 or 86, one of those years. And he was running from a giant wolf.
One of those years.
I do want to play that. They finally showed the enemies.
It looked really good, like just graphically, and I like the whole tone of it and everything. There wasn't much else. Week before you were here, we talked about how fast they shifted tones, where they were like Little Big Planet, but Bloodborne. Like, it was, like, really quick tone shifts.
Yeah.
The show.
And they go from Mortal Kombat to PlayStation TV or PlayStation Television. There's the box, the little box that's called PlayStation TV, and then the app that's called PlayStation Television. It's kind of confusing.
And they talk about PlayStation Now a little bit as well.
Bloodborne, did you guys mention that?
We didn't really talk about it much other than it was a stark contrast to Little Big Planet. I mean, I'm not necessarily sure if it's anything that interests me just because I felt like so little was shown. I feel like it was literally just blood porn, and that's all we saw. It was just kind of gritty, and then it left.
You said blood porn.
That's what we thought it was called for a while there.
Yeah.
Because I might enjoy some blood porn. That sounds like kind of fun.
It's funny.
You've seen it?
Like, I have such zombie fatigue. I'm getting really tired of the zombie games. And then the guy at the Sony conference goes up on stage and he's like, you know, quote unquote, reading your letters. and one of the letters was about how they want to see more zombie games. I'm like, no, that's the exact opposite of what I want.
No, bad.
I forgot they did that whole Tim Schafer letter thing. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Did the miners send them a letter?
Miners, not miners.
Shoot, I thought there was something else I was going to bring up. Darn it.
Your penis?
You guys distracted me with your blood porn.
Sorry.
Oh.
I do that. I'm sorry.
there's a... It wasn't shown during the conference itself, but the trailer that they showed of Far Cry 4, there's another one with commentary over it by one of the developers. It's actually kind of funny because he's like talking about how monkeys. Like the different animals that are in the game and how he doesn't quite know which one's which and how, you know, people are going to like tear the game apart online.
Those are some pretty entertaining demos with the monkeys and then them making elephants attack people.
What a monkey.
Who doesn't? He was the best character in that demo.
I want Monkey, the superhero monkey.
You're a monkey. You are stupid, Brian. You are stupid.
I know.
Is this the first conference you guys covered, or?
No, we talked about the others. Do you want to give some thoughts if you want to before
all
we move
of the
on.
Others already? This was the last one you covered?
No, we didn't do Nintendo yet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We do things in order.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
EA's and Ubisoft went pretty fast because we were like, lol.
Well, I really liked the Konami conference when they didn't show up.
They just packed it in this year. They're like, you know what? This isn't working out.
You guys heard about that, right, though?
No,
like that they scheduled a conference for like 3 a.m. and then they just didn't show up.
Damn it!
What happened to Naoki?
You had one job.
One million truths.
Million truths showed up. Because I know the last 2 years they did like a sort of like a Nintendo thing, but like really shittily done. Like they're pre-recorded because like there's games I don't really care about. I can't think of any.
Awesome,
games.
That last one we saw was pre-recorded. They just put
like,
it in front of a live audience.
No, but I mean, like it was like there was no audience or anything. It was just this guy talking and then the games. It wasn't anything funny. Like they clearly understood what happened at the infamous one, so they tried to correct it, and then obviously now they've just given up completely.
I'm pretty sure Konami's just kind of given up as a company.
That's pretty funny. That's like amazing news.
I was talking to my brother. I'm like, well, what does Konami actually do? Metal Gear Solid and the previous Metal Gear Solids.
Didn't they make a couple Yu-Gi-Oh games?
Yeah
they did.
Yeah, they still have, you know, a hold on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Market, but...
You know what's funny is there's not very many of those games now. I think I saw, it might even been in Nintendo's montage of games, a Zexal game, but a while back when I was in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Mood... Sorry, hold on.
Well, I was going to talk about that in a minute when we do Nintendo.
I was in a Lugia? I was in a Lugia mood, so I rode one hard. No, I was in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Mood, and I was like, oh, I wonder if there's any DS games or anything, because I wanted to play an updated one, and I also couldn't find my GBA GX game. And I was looking, and there's like practically no games. It's like, I couldn't find them anywhere. It was pretty annoying.
Well, E3, they announced that Zexal is getting a game.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Other than, that was the first I'd seen in years.
Because I was thinking about that while watching Zexal, like the past episode. I was like, you know, I haven't played a Yu-Gi-Oh game in a while. I don't remember ever seeing one in a while. And I was just thinking about that, and then I watched the Nintendo eShop video a little while ago, and one of the things at the end was like Yu-Gi-Oh Zexal World Duel Carnival. I'm like, oh, all right. I actually might get that just because
I
want to do something.
Updated rules. Like, because usually, like, on GameStop.com, they have, like, a lot of used games. Like, I remember there used to be, like, pages of the old Yu-Gi-Oh! Games. And I went there, and there was, like, nothing. I'm like, well, this is crap.
Like, there was a point when I was getting, like, all of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Games because I like Yu-Gi-Oh! That much. And I can remember just getting, like, you know, World Championship 2006, 2007, 2008, like
2000 Earth,
and just getting like all these different ones and Dark Duel Stories, Rush of Destruction, and then all of a sudden it was like, we are not doing that anymore. Like, oh, okay, it just kind of stopped.
You get
Sacred Cards was fun.
Let's see. Ubisoft were the cool kids at the conference.
Yeah.
They got the curse and...
They were dressing cash.
Yeah, so their casual wear. I got
really
wear.
Pissed over that.
Their casual wear is sickening, though. I don't like it.
I'm sickened by polo shirts. Sickened!
God, what did Ubisoft actually do outside of dance?
The only thing I've mentioned...
I wonder what they do, too.
It was like... Assassin's Creed, and then the dancing game, and a bunch of weird stuff. Like, it was really strange. Oh, they did end with that demo of the lady, her in her house.
Ying?
You know, Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six, house broken.
That's such a misleading description. Oh, that lady with her in her house. You know, Rainbow Six.
It's a true story.
I know, it's just, video of the it lady sounds peeing. So... It sounds so sweet and innocent with the description, and then Rainbow Six. Oh, so she was being held hostage.
Yeah.
Okay. I brought up the question about why she was being held hostage, because it wasn't like this like big corporation or whatever that they were, you know, infiltrating. It was just this woman's house that for whatever reason they were blowing up.
Okay, first of all, why wouldn't you blow up a woman's house?
And I love how in that game, and there was a couple others I watched throughout the week, where they were trying to simulate like how other players would talk to each other. Other players do not talk to each other that way, let me tell you. That game would be like, grab that bitch now! And they'd start teabagging their own teammates. It would just be not... Correct. It would not be like that. I've never been a part of any sort of online match where anyone was like cooperative and polite like that. Even like in the most civilized of games. So I think it's pretty funny.
The game itself looked neat. I don't think I'd ever play it, but it looked fine.
I don't think I was moved to tears like Asia Tyler was.
Yeah. That was a little overdone.
Yeah, that was a bit much. Like you always went too far.
That pretty much sums up Aisha Tyler.
They would have won E3 if the Who's Line cast would have showed up on stage with her.
I take it you're not a big Aisha Tyler fan.
That's just how they should have done the whole conference. It's just like a game of Who's Line.
Whose game is it anyway?
They all have to act out the trailers.
That would be amazing. That would be the best E3 conference of all time.
Okay, would. Colin, you're playing the woman hostage, and Ryan, you're playing the guy who's going to shoot her. Oh, I love how Brian was like, if this doesn't end with the woman getting shot, then this
she did get shot.
And
she
then like
die.
30 seconds later, she got shot.
Brian made that happen. He's a wizard.
In all fairness, everyone should be shot at some point.
It's just something that you need to do.
Exactly.
As for the others, EA was pretty dull. Yeah. And
well, to be fair, it's EA. So.
Oh, yeah. They had the emotion of football. Oh, my God. Really... I love it. The emotion of football. And they kept saying it, too. Like, they said it for... You know, American football, and then when the soccer game came up, they were like, the emotion of football. There is no greater drama than football.
There really isn't.
And then I only got to watch half of Microsoft's because my TV went out.
Lucky so, you.
What I saw was boring, but I heard it got better as it
what
ended.
What parts did you see?
Like half.
Well, I know, but what half? Like, you said parts were boring.
Well, the first half.
Okay. Well, maybe. I don't know your life.
Maybe if you figured out how the definition of words work, you'd know what he meant.
Maybe he likes to watch it out of chronological order. He likes to watch the conferences podcast style. You watch the end first. Wait, we don't do that. I'm lost.
Are you stupid?
Yes.
Funny you ask.
But one of the points I enjoyed was Halo and the new Tomb Raider game, because the Tomb Raider game was really awesome. They kept making a big deal about
the Tomb Raider game.
About Phantom Dust. They're like, oh my god, Phantom Dust is back. I'm like, oh my god, what's that? It's kind of like everyone's like, The Last Guardian, where is it? I'm like, what is it? I've never heard of it.
I know what it is, but I don't know why. I think the only reason so many people were like really freaking out about it was because it was announced that it was canceled, and then it was announced that it wasn't canceled, and there was so much back and forth that happened like the day before E3. So everyone was just freaking out, expecting to see it, and then it never showed up.
When your favorite guy.
Your favorite guy. No one wanted to see Konami.
Jeff Keighley interviewed New Jack Tretton, and he said the game is still in development. They interviewed him like right before the conference. So I really wish I could remember what you called him, because he was hosting something else you're watching. You're like, I hate this little shit stain or something like that. Like
Eater.
It was, yeah, there we go. So shitty.
He was hosting the Smash Invitational.
Yeah, he really loved seeing it in too. He didn't seem that interested in what was going on.
I loved seeing Joel McHale just troll him at the Video Game Awards. It was hilarious. Like, he hosted it just like Jeff, like half leaning against a wall texting. That's the exact demeanor he gave off. It was pretty great.
I know a lot of people were really upset with that. A lot of people who don't really get
his humor,
his whole shtick, you know?
So yeah, that was pretty funny. Jeff Keighley was trying so hard, like he didn't understand. Jeff Keighley's like a mutated Kevin Ferrer from an alternate dimension.
I want to mutate in an alternate dimension.
Totes.
Speaking of which, Nintendo.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Nintendo had a really entertaining conference. They had the most entertaining narrative for sure with the robot chicken bits.
Dude,
I was not expecting that.
Reggie and Iwata fighting? Come on.
That was pretty funny. Like, for real.
It was really funny because my feed was just a few seconds behind, so I saw the chat, and like the first new thing that popped up was robot chicken. I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden it appeared. I'm like, oh. Because it's hard to tell, because people in the chat will scream out random things, like mental patients. Like, all through the Sony conference, there was a guy just screaming, Brazil, 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 Brazil. I don't know why. So, for all I knew, Robot Chicken was like a Brazil. But it was a real thing that happened.
So, I remember watching it and just going, what the fuck is going on? Like, what?
Like, I jumped in a couple minutes late, so I didn't see that part until after, and that was brilliant. Like, I just like that a lot.
Like, I'm sitting there, well, you know, I'm watching it at work, right, because that's exactly the appropriate kind of behavior for an employee.
You know, that's right.
And I'm watching it at work, and I got no sound, so all I see is just Iwata and Reggie, and I'm like, what is that? Am I watching the right program? what are we doing?
I love how willing Nintendo is to do that with, you know, their heads of the companies. You know, these are the guys that run Nintendo, and here they're like pretending to fight each other, and it's really silly. It's really funny too. The robot chicken stuff was actually pretty amusing as well. I like how timely the Star Fox fan in the robot chicken thing was.
Oh yeah, because of that like leak and whatever at the beginning.
He asked for Star Fox, and then Reggie like laser beamed him. it was really weird.
It was pretty funny. Well, they let off with Smash Brothers, obviously. They led and closed with it. I think they're like the only company to like stretch a game's content out to like make a whole show.
That's just Smash Brothers in general. Like, they did this with Brawl too.
I'm like, I can't think of any other game that like splits up its reveals over like years, and then instead of opening and closing with a new game, they just open and close with the same game. But I think. Well, the beginning showed off the Mii Fighters, which is pretty awesome because I'm going to get to make an Office cast and a Parks and Rec cast. It's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that.
Well, you know,
that thought.
Ron Swanson. Ron.
I've got all these Miis on my regular Wii, and I can now. I've got The Chipmunks, Hulk Hogan, Snoop Dogg, Ozzy, Weird Al, Darth Vader.
I want to make a Jack Tratton one.
Dr. Zoidberg, Chuck Norris. Like, they can all go fight now, and like, it just seems like Elmo and Grover.
There is something incredible about that.
Like, it's a really cool idea, because not only can Gunner you play Elmo. As yourself, but as anybody you want, which is really neat.
Elmo with a gunner arm. Like,
Matt? Blows up someone. Oh, man. Yo Gabba Gabba Games. Sorry.
Yo Gabba Gabba Games.
It might have been the energy drink. I don't know.
So that was really cool. Yo and
Gabba,
I do
Gabba Games.
I do love that concept. I think it's neat.
And the little Skylanders. Nintendlander.
Yeah, the Amiibos.
Those things are awesome.
Amiibas, Blastocysts.
Thanks to Ultra Punch, actually, for pointing this out, because I didn't quite get it at first. I was like, why didn't they just name it Amigos? Because that, like, totally makes sense. And, like, it's a mix between Amigo, me, and possibly, given the fact that Nintendo's a Japanese company, Aibo.
Wait, they're a Japanese company?
Yeah. Mindfuck, right? And so I thought that was kind of neat. Just kind of a smash together of multiple different words. But I really like it. I'm such a huge Nintendo fan, and I got so many like figures of Nintendo shit already. But just having like the entire Smash roster in little
Since
figure
when?
Form.
I really
me.
Want a Greninja figure so bad.
I know, right? Since when is Brian a Nintendo fan, guys?
I've always
He was always a huge Konami guy until a few years ago when they messed up. I mean, he's like, I don't know, maybe I should back up. He had a shirt that said Gnocchi on it. Except it said it was funny. It was like N Gnocchi and it had an egg on it.
Brian had a shirt that said Gnocchi is my homeboy.
But yeah, the figures look good, and it's kind of. I'm interested to see how they incorporate it, because they said they're going to incorporate it some more than just Smash, and I'm kind of curious to see how it's not only going to be incorporated into other games that we know about, but in the future.
Well, they've talked about them using them for Mario Kart.
Well, yeah, and Yoshi's Yarn.
Yoshi's Woolly World. Yeah, Yoshi's Yarn. And they've also talked, they said something about Captain Toad.
Yeah, they talked about a lot of the games they announced there, but I'm kind of curious as how they're going to do it moving forward, too. It should be interesting.
I really like the... the way that they set it up with Smash in terms of that the figures are basically like their own characters. So you set them on the gamepad, it loads a character in the game, and you basically fight against this character or have the character fight with you against the computer or have like one figure fight another figure. And they're basically kind of like Pokemon and they level up and they learn your playstyle to basically become a better computer than the computers in the game.
Oh god, it's
I thought you were going to say they become a better you.
And then suddenly little mini figure Mario is hosting Brian's reviews and taken over his life.
I want that now.
So I think that's kind of cool. Like I said, I have no idea how they could incorporate that into Mario Kart. It would take... I could see the same sort of thing happening, like it's a computer control player that see well Mario Kart can't really learn your moves, but I
same thing with Yoshi. I'm curious how they're gonna do that.
Yoshi can learn my moves.
Show me your boobs. But speaking of Yoshi's
Captain Falcon showing
world,
his boobs.
That was
we've known about
off.
That for a while, but
yeah, we've known about that for at least half a year, probably more.
But it looks so good.
But it every time we see it it's more and more polished.
I like how it's a follow-up to a Kirby game.
Yeah.
I want to see Nintendo do that, like make their follow-ups be a completely different franchise. Like I want to see Metroid Sunshine 2, like where it's just like a sequel to Mario
Sunshine.
Samus
is just running around like just cleaning everything.
Exactly.
Water comes out of the gun instead of lasers.
In all fairness, Samus is a girl.
And then
I knew
Star
you were
Fox,
do it.
Star Fox Country. Like,
we know
just
Dawson is sexist, so
cross franchises. I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny.
But I love the art style. Like it's
I
so
want the
childlike, but it's just so beautiful at the same time.
I want an actual yarn Yoshi. They had them.
They better sell those.
I want that. Like, I will pay money for that. I don't care. Like, give it to me right now.
Like, I like how they kind of incorporated the typical Yoshi game mechanics with, like, the eat the enemy, you get an egg, but instead of eggs, you have, like, yarn balls. And you can build with the... You basically launch the yarn ball, and then you'll build, like, a pipe or a platform or something like that. I think that's cool. Everything and about, like, the game, I think, is kind of cool in a weird sort of way.
I'm definitely interested in checking it out, because Epic Yarn was one of the most innovative platformers I played last generation. Like, it was kind of easy, and you get through it real quick, but, I mean, just some of the mechanics were really interesting, and if they make it, like, half as interesting, it should be pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Oh, we're under attack. Crayons are being thrown at Brian.
There's a moth in the house.
Oh, God, I hate that. I will be out.
No. Get over here.
Get it. It's going to get
me. May's a whore.
Only sometimes.
She agrees.
So what else did they show?
Toad game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be DLC. I can't see it being a full game.
It's a full game.
Is what? It like a full, like, retail $60 game?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I'm kind of surprised, too. It seemed like a kind of, they don't really, an eShop game.
That's what I was thinking.
To me. But
I still like it, though.
I love it. I loved the Captain Toad levels in 3D World. And I have to have a giant hard-on for Toad.
Did you see afterwards on the Nintendo Treehouse, they were showing off gameplay footage of it? Like, people actually playing it.
Yeah, I watched that.
Made it look really neat, too.
I did. I was so excited when I saw that. I'm like, I'm definitely getting this now.
I think what's kind of cool about it is that, at least in terms of the levels that were in 3D World, some of them got actually really difficult. Because this little fucker can't jump. So you're basically stuck falling from platforms or using platforms to rise up. Because you can't jump, so it's very much a puzzle platformer in all senses of the genre, and I think it's really cool, plus it's a Toad.
It's neat that, you know, even though it's in the Mario world, it's not really a Mario game per se. It doesn't have the same mechanics, which makes it very different. It looks cool. You kind of shift the camera around to find all of the hidden spots on the level, and it looks neat.
I'm just surprised it's going to be a full retail game.
It has box art, at least. It was in the press packages.
That's surprising. The probably my favorite sort of thing they showed was the new Zelda.
Oh my god, that was so pretty.
It looked so good, but the thing that I loved most about it was that they essentially said exactly what I wanted to hear. You know, the fact that it's going to be open world, and what I like about Zelda is exploration. And what I like about, like, Twilight Princess was that, you know, I feel like I was exploring this vast world, and Skyward Sword was so restricted to these three areas. And he was talking about exactly what I wanted from it, and exactly what I was bringing up in my review is that when I was talking about the graphical power, it's not necessarily about the graphic look to me. It's about the power that they have. And the Wii, with a more powerful system, I kept imagining how awesome Zelda could be if it had an actual powerful system behind it that could render this amazing world. And that's exactly what they can do now. So I'm, like, super excited. And the footage they showed was so cool. And Link, or not Link, has, like, a laser bow. He's got a sonic arrow. It's cool. There's, like, a thing that's, like, this isn't Link. I'm like, who is it? His brother... Pink Hackman? I don't know.
This might not be Link. I'm like, it looks like Link to me. Like, I don't care who what you call him or her or whatever, but it looks like Link. I mean, you can't get around that.
Maybe Link has his own Robin.
Maybe. But that, it was beyond beautiful. One thing I've always, always really loved about the Zelda franchise is just the different takes on art style for every game. From Wind Waker and Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword. And I really did like Skyward Sword's graphical style, even though I didn't really like the game a whole lot. But this kind of takes Skyward Sword's art style and amps it up even further.
Beautifies it.
And the screenshot that they were using for the backdrop when they were interviewing Aonuma before they showed off the trailer, the huge field view, that's my desktop right now. Like, it was just too beautiful to not use.
Like, it looks so good.
I'm super excited for that. The idea of an open world Zelda game is beyond exciting for me. So that is...
It's going to be so much better than Skyward Sword, hopefully.
A lot of things are better than Skyward Sword, Mike.
I hope they stick to 2015. Like, I'm all for taking their time with games. But seriously, Ubisoft literally built Rome in 2 years. We need to up this stuff. Like, they literally did that. Like, it's taking a long time. We got to do this. I'm like, they built, like, literally the city of Rome in 2 years. There's no excuses. What? Gotham doesn't even exist. Why is it taking so long? Sorry. I'm upset.
Anyway.
But it looks really good.
Yeah, they did Hyrule Warriors.
Oh yeah,
I'm still really excited for that. That they're the only new here was the fact that Midna and Zelda are playable, which is a little bit confusing to me because I thought they said that Zelda was kidnapped. Maybe she's an unlockable after you beat the game once, or I don't know. Maybe. But regardless, she's all armored up and hot as shit. So that's a thing.
I hope Fi is playable just so I can beat her up with Midna. I seriously hated her. Mari Maras. Nope.
I could see Fi Fo Fum.
And Giram. I could see Giram being playable too.
Yeah.
He was like the counterpart to her, so could see that.
I heard there was 9 character slots according to the playable E3 demo. And we only know of 4. So there's another 5 character slots that are up for debate.
Is that one 2014 or 2015?
That one's 2014.
Oh, good. I was going to say, come on now.
That one's coming out relatively soon.
I was like, it's Dynasty Warriors. It can't take you that long. Rome in 2 years. I'm just saying.
I think it's like, what's in September or something? October?
Yeah, somewhere around there. September, October. Speaking of Smash, did get a 3DS date of October 4th, which is not summer, Nintendo.
No, it's not. Rome in 2 years. What the hell?
But
just saying.
You're really stuck on the Rome thing.
I mean, because everyone says, like, Rome wasn't built in a day, but they built the Rome city for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood in the 2 years they developed it, and then all these other games where it seems like, I don't know what's taking so long, but they built Rome. I'm just saying. They set the bar. Granted, you fall through the buildings, but they built it. Actually, it only ever happened to me in AC1, but... I don't remember the second games actually being that glitchy. One was glitchy, and I remember 3 was pretty glitchy. Like, my weapon would be floating in the air. The horse would be gliding on nothing. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. What else did they show?
They had a Pokemon segment for Oras.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was
we
really
finally cool. Got footage.
Yeah, it looks really awesome. Ryan, was it you that tweeted out, like, this Groudon and Kyogre screensaver?
Yeah.
I couldn't find that. Like, I wasn't on the computer. I wanted to have it for my laptop one, but I was on my desktop, and I was looking for it when I was on my laptop today in your tweets, and I couldn't find it. It was super annoying.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to want that, too. I think I know what you're talking about.
It should be there. So, I can try to find it later.
Get on that shit.
No, but, was there anything new besides the release date, November 21st?
No, I mean, it was new to people who hadn't seen the Koro Koro leaks.
Because... Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot. Those are technically leaks. I don't know if the magazine's actually supposed to be out yet.
Yeah, did you see that? Yeah, Europe is getting it a week later.
Finally.
Yeah. People were bitching about that, like, worldwide release unless you don't count Europe. And
Serbia was really pissed.
That's what they get for getting Spider-Man first. Well, Spider-Man. Murica. Murica gets Spider-Man first.
Someone mentioned that back when X and Y came out, all of the leaks were coming from European reviewers. And Matsuda said that he was really upset. And... So people are saying that this was Matsuda's way of getting back at Europe. So they get the game a week later than everyone else because they spoiled the worldwide release.
And I could see them like not shipping to stores until like the 27th, like just to piss them off.
Delaying the mail. But yeah, it was the first time we were officially seeing the Hoenn Mega Evolutions and the first time we got to see moving footage.
Mega Sceptile launches his tail at people.
Mega Swampert's like a badass that went to the gym a lot, and I keep wanting to call him Ultimate Swampfire. But like, I seriously, every time I go to talk about him, I say Ultimate first. I still like Mega Blaziken best. He's a badass.
Mega Sceptile, man, he's dragon. He's grass dragon.
I don't know what it is. Like, I don't hate him, but he just doesn't click with me for some reason. Maybe it's like the everlasting gobstoppers on his back. Mega Sceptile.
He's amazing.
He's all right. He's got everlasting gobstoppers on his back. I don't know what it just. I don't hate him. It just doesn't click with me.
Sceptile's like always been my favorite. So
hey, there you go. There you go. That's all you need in life is Sceptile. See, to me, Swampert. As much as I love Swampert, Mega Swampert does not connect for me.
Well, he connects with me, but not as much as Mega Blaziken. He's still the best. I'm probably
like
still going to use
it's
it.
It's like
for
if
my
Swampert fucked Popeye.
Yeah. How does that even work?
I don't
it's
know.
It's more
but
like
now
if Swampert fucked Cannonball. That's my
But I think it's funnier if he fucks Popeye. So
we did get Mega Sableye today.
Yeah,
isn't that thrilling?
We'd bring that up today, so we didn't really have to talk about Pokemon at all later.
Don't even remember the episode.
Very excited.
Wait, what part of the episode are we in? Is this the first half?
No,
we're doing Ramble Time.
Okay.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Host questions what part of the show there is. This is Ramble Time.
Well, normally this goes in the first half, where the news goes.
I'm going to put out a teaser where Aerosol comes down with dementia.
Like, you realize that, though, right? Like, for 4 years, we did this in the beginning of the show, where news goes. We do E3, and then we do superhero time.
Not anymore. Changed up the formula, bitches.
And no one told me.
This is Rambly time. Rambly.
Well, in any case,
I forgot the number.
In any case, Mega Sableye uses his jewel as a shield, and I think it's awesome.
Like, I get the bit, and I don't hate it. It's just not that thrilling to me.
Yeah.
It's the same reason I'm not huge on Kangaskhan.
Yeah.
Now, how do you not huge on Kangaskhan? The baby comes out of the pouch and kicks your ass.
Which is weird, because Kangaskhan's actually one of the better Megas. And I have the feeling that Sableye is actually going to be a very usable Mega as well.
Probably.
But,
considering it already has no weakness being Dark Ghost.
I thought it had one now.
No, it does. Now that Fairy is in the mix, it has a weakness.
Oh, it has Fairy now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Well, in any case, all that means is another reason to have Fairy then. But, well, Mega Kangaskhan is... What, who just died? What happened?
Dazen.
Oh, no one important. I was making sure the call was still here. Mega Kangaskhan is featured in the manga with, as one of the... I think it's X has a Kangaskhan that Mega evolves. I read it on Wikipedia, I don't know. But Kangaskhan's awesome, fuck you. I don't know, I really am excited about Oras, and I love how you have Primal Kyogre and Primal Groudon, and they're so much fucking bigger. Do you see like the picture comparison?
Yeah.
It's like comparing Pikachu to a Wailord. You're like, oh, fuck, well, that's a big difference. And then Groudon gets the fire type added to him for whatever reason. I mean, I guess it makes sense because of the whole volcano thing. But, I don't know. Actually, I kind of like that. I kind of always figured he should be fire because he's red. And that's how my mind works.
You and me both, buddy. You and me both.
like it's true. If I associate these different certain colors. Like, when I look at Grumpig, the first thing I think of is not psychic. It's poison because it's purple.
What's purple?
My penis.
You should probably get that checked.
I died.
Like, it's
how did we get to purple penis? The last thing I remember us talking about was Sableye. Wait, it all makes sense.
Oddly enough, it does, despite that not being how we got here.
But yeah, I'm liking the everything with Oras, and I need more. And then they showed the picture of Hoenn, like the whole region, or that was in a leak or something. I don't know.
Did we talk about Mega Other Bitch, whose name I don't remember?
Yeah. No, I don't care about Deontay.
People kept mentioning him. I'm like, who that?
Didn't we do that last week? No?
No.
No.
How long ago was this stuff revealed? I'm scared.
Not too long ago.
It was like right before E3, because...
Oh. Well, fuck. Yeah, Mega Deontay's a thing. I don't really care. Everything's been blending together the past few days, so I don't know what's happening.
And what's the new Mega Ring called? The Mega Bagel?
Mega Bangle.
The Aristotle tweet, he's like, hey, we use the Mega Bagel. Like, that's great. My number one hope for the new Pokemon game is still that you can get a haircut that looks like the hat. That would, it's like make the universe right.
The Mega Bangles is if the Bangles evolved, and now they're a Mega Band. No? All right. Moving along from that. Is there anything else to say about Pokemon Oras? No, I liked the little video with the kid.
Not particularly. Oh, yeah.
Hey, kids. There.
Like, now I want to do that. I want to be on a journey of the bag and find the...
Kids.
That's what homeless people do. They go on a journey with a bag. If I'm ever homeless, I want a sign that says trying to get to Viridian City. Yeah. That's the dream.
It is.
That's the dream.
It is.
They showed Bayonetta. Complete with...
Don't really have an interest in it.
Like, complete with Nintendo character outfits. That was creepy. I found it creepy.
That seems to be Nintendo's gimmick for third-party games that are put on their consoles. Like, I think they did that with Tekken as well, where you could dress them up as Nintendo characters.
Yeah. They're like, look, that's the bonus of buying this game, the third-party game for our system, is that you can dress the characters up as our own characters. You're not playing a Mario game, but it's as though Mario is there in spirit. Like, okay.
Speaking of Mario, we had Mario Maker.
That reminded me so much of Mario Paint, it's not even funny.
Mario Paint?
Like, as soon as I saw it, it was the first thing I thought of is Mario Paint, because we have that game for Super Nintendo, and we spent hours playing it when I was a kid. So then, when I saw that, and they have a lot of the Mario Paint things in it, and I noticed them while I was watching the video earlier. I like how you can switch back and forth between, like, the 8-bit Super Mario Brothers look and the 3D Mario, new Super Mario Brothers look.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Like,
I'd like to see how much more they add to it, like how extensive you can get with it.
Yeah.
So far, they only showed off, like, the one sort of area that you can sort of play around with, but I imagine they'll add way more than that.
Yeah.
I think it's a really neat idea. I don't think it's my type of thing. I'm just not... Whenever I have, like, a game maker, I have fun with it for a little bit, but then I get kind of bored of having to do their job. Drizzle it on for me! I'm not your maid! Sorry. I just like to quote Tom whenever I can. Sparkle studs. Dress loud. That has no relevance to this conversation.
No, it doesn't. No?
Butter, but I like the one he said, spread the party. Sorry.
Like, as fun as it looks, I'm just not creative enough to be able to take the time to do that. I mean, it looks like fun, but I'm just not creative enough to, like, oh, this can go here and we can design this. And I'm like,
I was surprised by how extensive it is. While watching some of the gameplay, I was actually pretty surprised by it. It looks really neat.
What say you, Brian?
I'm kind of with Dawson on this one. It's not my kind of thing, because I'm not huge onto the whole making thing. That's why I don't like Disney Infinity whatsoever. But I love the concept I think it's great for the people who are into that kind of thing. And if the game, if you buy the game and can play all of the levels, then I'll probably end up picking up the game just to play the levels that people make.
Yeah.
So I dig the concept. I wouldn't really actively make levels, but I'm all for it if I can play the custom levels people make, because I know through ROM hacks and stuff, there's a lot of really creative Mario level makers out there. So I'm really interested to see the kind of stuff that people make.
There's also Squid Duty.
I was just going to mention that.
Splatoon.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That looks like a lot of fun.
I was
actually really pumped for that.
I am really excited. Like, I was watching gameplay. There I go. Gameplay footage from that through the treehouse stuff. And it just looks so fun. Like, really ridiculously fun. And so I can't wait for that. It's great to see fresh IPs that... just really all around creative. It's not like it's not another shooter. It's a shooter that does so much else, and wraps it in a fun, colorful package. It's just really cool.
I just like that. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I talk too much. Go ahead.
Okay. I was surprised by how I don't want to say deep, but deep it got. With some of its gameplay features, the ink isn't just like a gimmick to make it look pretty. It actually affects the movement of your character. Switching back and forth between the squid makes you move faster. You can like swim up walls. It's really neat. Like, I can see it being something that is really simple to just kind of pick up and go shoot people with. But at the same time, I could see someone, getting really into playing around with how the ink works and how your movement works.
I was just, happy to see not only is it something different multiplayer-wise, but I was happy that it was actually, like, new characters. Like, they could have very easily made the same game but used, like, Mario and characters like that. And I'm just, like, pleasantly surprised they just did something new. Yeah, it does look really really fun and something interesting. I'll probably check it out.
Splatoon characters for Smash 5.
I saw a lot of people comparing it to Super Mario Sunshine. Which,
yeah, because they could have done
like
that.
Like you said, they could have just easily transplanted those characters into this game.
I had to make that joke when when I seen that.
Oh, it definitely looks like it.
I was like, you ink up the place, and then Mario has to come in and clean it up.
That's going to be DLC. Mario Sunshine Cleanup Crew.
Instead of Mario, it's just a bunch of Mexicans.
Oh, man. But I think that's about almost it, because they showed that, and then they closed the show with some character I'd never heard of for Smash.
Palutena from Kid Icarus.
Well, I know.
That got kind of annoying afterwards when everyone was like, oh my god, they have to do an anime now.
Like, I was confused because I was like, oh my god, are they doing an original programming too? I can't even handle it. Like, every single company's like, we're doing original content. I'm like, they're going to do it too? And then everyone's like, oh my god, it's her. I'm like, oh, I know her. I was just pretending. No idea.
They did release some Kid Icarus animations back when Uprising was releasing. I can kind of see them doing something like that for Smash, maybe. But I think this was more or less just a one-shot deal because
Kid Icarus did it.
Yeah. Promotional material was so anime-based.
They also released yesterday? Pac-Man?
Yes.
As a playable character.
Pac-Man before he said playable character, he made it sound like Pac-Man just came out. Like, this is the timeline in which Pac-Man came out in 2014. That's gonna be a new timeline.
I'm so excited over Pac-Man. Like, it's ridiculous.
I don't know if it was 100% actually confirmed, but in the trailer for Pac-Man, Game & Watch was at the end.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to mention, is that I feel like throughout their digital event and some of his other videos like that, like the video showing Pac-Man, like that they hid stuff in there. like at the end of the thing, you know, like at the end of the thing, you show Palutena and then Dark Pit shows up just randomly.
Yeah, because Dark Pit used to be sort of, anyway, the black costume for Pit in Brawl. But given how their like alternate costumes are a little bit more expansive in Smash 4, I can totally see Dark Pit being an alt costume for Pit with like a new voice and obviously slightly different character models to differentiate the two. But I think that's kind of neat. Nothing absolutely determined yet, but I agree with you that they're kind of giving us hints here and there.
Yeah, some like, cause then there's that one guy's all, you know, the little dude, and they're like, "What about Star Fox?"
Then oh, fucking Miyamoto at the end playing Star Fox.
No, it was like, an unspecified blurry game.
I'm like, bitch, don't blur it out. I can tell Star Fox.
It was the Bigfoot game. It's blurry.
Okay.
But yeah, they start trolling you by hiding things in there. And then on top of all that stuff, then they had all the other reveals of different games.
Yeah.
Mario Party 10, Mario vs.
Donkey Kong. I didn't get to watch the footage on that yet. They showed it in the Treehouse Live today.
sounds so funny. I watched a little bit of it. To be completely honest, it didn't look super interesting to me. But I guess like you play against Bowser, or one character can be Bowser in this one, and this one. He has like a different kind of like movement across the board. He can roll like 5 die at once. It looked interesting, but yeah. If you weren't a fan of the car thing from the previous one, you might not like that too much. But
yeah, I am kind of disappointed that's coming back, because I wasn't a fan of the car thing.
I don't think I have 9. I don't remember if I own that one or not, actually, at this point. I might own 9, I might not. I forgot.
I might own 9, fuck if I know. But yeah, I didn't mind 9 all that much, but the the car thing certainly got on my nerves. Because it took part of the battle out of Mario Party.
Yeah.
And then Mario vs. Donkey Kong, I'm always looking forward to those games because they're just a lot of fun. Like, guiding the little mini Marios and, I guess, now other characters. Because there's mini Peach, mini Toad, mini Luigi, mini Pauline. Like, I know, mini Pauline, she's there again.
Mini memes.
So I'm excited for that. What else is there? I'm trying to think.
They showed off a couple of weird little games, Giant Robot, which honestly didn't look that interesting to me.
Neither of them are that interesting.
Is it really just called Giant Robot?
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, they clearly stepped up the creative names with just at the beginning.
And, Giant Roboto.
Project Guard, which is basically tower defense with multiple camera angles.
It's like a multicam sitcom.
Those weren't super neat.
Yeah, I wasn't really into either of those all that much. Like, there's got to be more to it. Like, I know they're just now like hitting development and it's not fully fleshed out, but I feel like it's part of like a was it Nintendo Land of Robots? Like, I just can't see it being
a full game.
Like, a full game, either of them. Like, either being part of a collection of minigames, or like an eShop download or something. I can't see it being a full game.
Yeah, I think they would be fine if, like, added to the Nintendo Land or whatever, but yeah, standalone, they're not that worth it. I know the giant robot thing has customization to it, but it doesn't seem like there's much of a point to customizing because they all just sort of do the same thing. Just slowly walk towards your opponent, put your arm out, and hope you push him down. Basically. And if you do, then you win.
Sounds like playground tactics to me.
I'm going to stick my arm out and walk towards you, and if you get hit, it's your own fault.
Oh, that's good.
But, and then we had all the treehouse where they would just show off game footage, and I really liked that, that having that where there's the developer people there, and
that was like what they used to do on G4's coverage.
Yeah, and that I think that's why I liked it so much, because for a while there we had really good coverage with G4 that you could like leave it on all day, and there was always something playing for you to watch in your downtime. And now that like G4 is gone, it moved to Spike, and they only run like two conferences and one little show in between, and that's really it. E3 just didn't have as big of a presence when you're not there anymore. And I really like that Nintendo kind of stepped it up and started streaming virtually everything almost the entire day. They had
to be fair, IGN does that. But it's not as good as G4's old coverage.
Yeah, but IGN's stupid.
They, I wouldn't say they showed off everything. There was definitely stuff that we've at least like seen reports of being on the show floor that they didn't show off, and I don't know, I felt like as cool of an idea as it is, and it really is, it did get a little bit repetitive after a while when it's like, oh, they're showing off Mario Maker again.
Yay!
I never reached that point because I was gone most of the day waiting in line to play Smash Brothers. that was an experience. Yeah, it was, maybe. So I didn't get to watch a whole lot today, but yeah, looking at the Twitter feed today, it was a lot of repetitive today.
But I have to say, in general, in terms of the conference itself, Nintendo did a lot better job of handling it this year. Like last year's, it wasn't like it was horrendously sloppy, but it was just kind of boring. Like Wada just kind of talked at us, and we saw a couple things, and they were super glitchy.
Not doing it was.
Well, yeah.
A big thing here.
But even in general, if anybody had done it, it was just him talking at you and then trailers, and there was nothing exciting about it. And then they had a lot of problems with the stream working, and I didn't have any of those problems, really. And they had, like, an entertaining little narrative to it, which was fun. And I found that just because of the way it was structured and because they had those treehouse things and whatnot, that I found that a lot more people were actually finding out about Nintendo's announcements, and there was a lot more conversations going on about it. Because, like, last year, most people that I would follow, whether it's, like, on Twitter or what else, would find out about stuff days later because they didn't even realize Nintendo did anything. And because it was just so low-key and it really wasn't very well done, so it was just kind of sloppy in that sense. So I think they did a lot better job of giving it presence this year.
Yeah, they definitely organized themselves better and then, you know, wanted to get out there that, hey, look, the Wii U is a thing. It's there. You can go buy one and play games for it. And you know, they showed off their games. They had an actual fun to watch presentation. Like I said, it wasn't just Iwata going, and now we have another game to show you for the Wii U coming out in the future.
Please take out. No offense to Iwata, but seriously, I can't do it.
And then he puts his hand out. Please take a look, and bends forward a little, and then you cut to a game trailer.
That sounds naughty. Please take a look, and then bends forward. Whoa.
We hope
settle
you
down.
And then you know, it ends. You know, we hope you enjoyed that. You know, that first look at the Yarn Yoshi, and then he goes on. Now we have. Another
like a
game.
Robot.
Oh, fuck. Like, 20 minutes later, we've done two game trailers.
Today, Junior!
Basically, that's what I feel like when I'm watching Iwata. I'm like, I get you're like the CEO of the company and shit, but seriously, there's got to be better people.
Yeah, they're called Reggie.
Like, honestly, just put Reggie in front of the camera the entire time and I'd be okay.
I'd be fine with it too. I would have a Reggie erection.
Oh my.
Constantly. I do too. But yeah, like, and even Reggie wasn't even in the thing like a lot. He was there in the beginning, and then it just kind of went from one to the other. And you know, the developers did a lot more talking than Reggie did for Hyrule Warriors, Zelda. Sakurai was there for Smash. You had the guys for Yoshi. You know, that also helped a lot too. You kind of got a feel for the game as they're describing it, and as it made me want to go buy the games, and I want them now, and I want the Murdered Awesome. And
well, that just happens every day.
I want my fucking Yarn Yoshi, motherfuckers. But like the physical one, not even just the game. I want the physical fucking Yoshi. Want to hug it. Put it in my jacket.
Something I didn't bring up, which people are probably annoyed at me by now because I've been talking about it. Alpacas? The past few days. Yeah, alpacas. There was plenty of alpacas there. There actually were, because there was a new Harvest Moon game there. But that's not what I was talking about. They finally announced Fantasy Life for U.S. release.
And I didn't know it was real.
I've been, like, 2 years. It's been out in Japan for 2 years now. I've been waiting for them to announce something, anything. It honestly did not look like they were even going to release it in the West. So it was really surprising when the conference just ended and then it cuts to the two announcers and they're just like, yeah, and there's also Fantasy Life coming. Okay, great. I had to like do a double take, like I didn't quite hear at first. So yeah, I'm super excited about that.
I legitimately thought it was a joke. Like when you, because I didn't know nothing about it because I was just thinking of Michael saying, I live in a fantasy world. And I thought it was something about that for some reason. And then Brian was talking about it. And so I Googled it today and I watched a little video on it. And honestly, it does look like a cross between Animal Crossing and Fable. Like, just because you're running around and talking about making a life and then like you're doing these RPG elements. And the thing that really got the Fable thing for me was the blacksmithing, like the tiny blacksmithing. Like, it's just funny because I remember all the time I spent blacksmithing in Fable. I'm like, oh, but I can do it all tiny. But it actually looks pretty fun. I'll probably check it out because I like both Animal Crossing and Fable. So,
yeah, like it's got elements of a life simulator, like you said with Animal Crossing or Harvest Moon or stuff like that, where you could actually play the game for, you know, days and days and not even fight. You could just go out and pick up fruit or cut down trees or, you know, make armor or whatever.
As a whole game, except for the armor.
What's great is that you can switch back and forth between the different, like, jobs at will without penalty. So if you're, like, a blacksmith and you need material, you can just switch over to being a paladin, go out, kill something, get the material, come back, and switch over to being a blacksmith again.
That's cool.
I read today there's over 21,000 pages of text in the game.
Oh, God.
That's how expansive reading. All the dialogue is. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And it's made by Level 5 as well, which is, like, my favorite video game company.
I really do like Level 5.
You know, talking about Fable,
Level 6.
It reminded me of Fable Legends, which is co-op, and I was thinking, I feel like one of the themes overall for the whole show was co-op this year.
Yeah.
Like with Assassin's Creed is like heavily co-op based, and so is Fable. And you know me, I hate people. They're the worst.
People
but
suck.
Like for me,
stars.
The thing I kind of hoping, especially Fable, because I really enjoyed the Fable games. I loved 2. I liked 3 a lot, but it wasn't as good as 2, but I really liked those games. And I think the last one they had was like a Kinect game for the old Xbox. And so I heard they were going to do a new one. I was excited about it. And it looks good, but I'm just hoping that you don't have to do the co-op, because there's just certain games I like to play by myself. The thing I liked about Fable is it was about your journey as a person and had nothing to do with the other people. And same thing with Assassin's Creed. It's like, I played the multiplayer on that. It was pretty fun. And there's just certain games like a Halo or a Call of Duty or a Uncharted where I love playing the online afterwards, but there's certain things that I don't want to be forced to do co-op with. So I'm kind of curious how those are going to play out. I'm assuming that I'll just have three NPCs, essentially like Brotherhood. But there was a lot of that co-op. They're like, hey, you want to play with other people? I'm like, no. Like, I just want to play by myself.
It did look from some of the gameplay that you are capable of going through the game without co-op. I would imagine like there's probably either a different campaign or the co-op is optional or something like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. It's just because I don't like when they force me to do stuff like that. You don't force me to work with others. What is this, preschool? It's like when they say find. It's like the video game version of okay, find a partner. Fuck! I hate when that happens.
I know, right? But I was always teacher, can I work alone? No, you need a partner. Damn it!
You need a partner. Walks away. I'll tell him. But yeah, I noticed that was kind of a big thing this year.
Yoshi has co-op. You can turn your fellow Yoshi into a yarn ball.
And abuse him. Sounds like my kind of game.
All right.
So it was something that Nintendo did at E3 this year was having the Smash Brothers Invitational. And basically, this was a kind of a first look at the Smash Brothers Wii U using a tournament structure, and they invited a bunch of apparently well-known Smash players. I don't pay attention to the competitive Smash Brothers scene, so I don't know any of these people. It was actually way more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. And I sat here and watched it with Aerosol, and it was fun.
I wasn't even expecting to watch it. I just happened to have the stream up still. So, yeah, it was way more fun than I expected. The commentary was good. They had, I guess, pretty famous Smash Bros. Commentators. I realized too late that we should have put bets on who was going to win. Darn it. I would have bet on Scarf Guy. Just gotta put that out there.
Was it the same Scarf Guy from the Ubisoft conference?
No.
Oh.
That was the Scott guy.
You know what? It's all a scarf. The world is a scarf. That'll show you. Scarf.
Wow. Just wow.
You showed me.
Yeah, but what's the meaning of scarves?
But yeah, and then they had a celebrity version.
Lunsford.
Lunsford was there. I was like, holy shit, it's Lunsford, and I like flipped a biscuit, and I didn't even know who the fourth person was, because I was just flipping out about Lunsford.
He's so famous. Like, you tremble in his presence.
They had Robin Williams' daughter there, that was the thing.
Yeah, she's basically like a walking Nintendo advertisement at this point.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. But
yeah, that was really fun, and I kind of hope they do it next year. I don't know if they will. Reggie mentioned that they wanted to do more Smash tournaments.
They really should.
But as long as they stream them, because it was a fun watch.
Yeah.
Just don't let Jeff Keighley host.
That was stupid. I don't know who agreed to that.
Don't let Jeff Keighley into life. the worst. So I guess to wrap it up, what were your guys' favorite announcement? Like your absolute favorite thing you saw?
Just real quick.
Mine's so easy. I shouldn't even bother mentioning it. And then there was silence.
Yeah, we're waiting. I was waiting for you to say it.
Like, no. Fantasy Life. I've been waiting for this game for years, and it's finally coming out this October.
When you were paused, I was trying to think of a really funny game to say, and then I couldn't. I failed myself.
Just Dance 5, man. Man, I don't even know if it's Just Dance 5. I just know
it's a new exercise game.
Something.
Where you jog on pianos.
So someone else is saying anything. Wow.
Brian's like he just won an award. Oh god, I don't know who to thank. Like, my producers.
There's so much. Being the Toad fan I am, Captain Toad was kind of out of left field, but there were so many surprises. Splatoon looks amazing.
Brian, what are you, one of the Facebook commenters? I said one.
Looks great. I can't pick one, you dick. I can't. Like, it's too difficult. I don't know.
Everything Smash just made me so happy. That's because that's something I'm waiting for, and having a date for the 3DS version, like a definite date, like, this is when we're doing it, even though nothing's definite ever with Smash.
Roman tears.
That makes me happy. Fuck you. Makes me happy. So I can't wait to see what else they're not telling me.
Mine was honestly probably New Tomb Raider, because I really did like the first one, and that was like one of the most excited moments I had when I realized it was the trailer for Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I think is really funny that they're calling it that, because the first one was called Tomb Raider. So it's like, but didn't she already rise? But still, that was probably the most excited I was.
It's sort of like how the last movie in the Dark Knight trilogy is The Dark Knight Rises.
I think they titled it that solely because Dark Knight was such a recognizable name now amongst movies. But it's just because the game's about like her, you know, becoming the Tomb Raider, so the first one being called Tomb Raider made sense. It just seems funny that, like, well, is she going to rise again? What's happening? Did she quit for 8 years? Did she have a magic knee brace? I don't know. But regardless, I was really, really excited for it, and yeah, I'm excited for it. Tomb Raider!
Oh my god. Mary, you're a twat. She was trying to jump up, and the windowsill here is very, very tiny, and she can't fit on it. So she tried to jump up and just kind of slid down. Yeah, you can't get up there. Sorry. Meow. What the fuck are you doing?
Brian's like SpongeBob, and Maymay's Gary. And that makes me Patrick, and Kevin Squidward.
But
and Aerosol's Mr. Krabs for some reason, because he's all that's left. No, he can be Sandy.
Oh, thanks. Oh, thanks.
Well, because you're always, I don't know, you're always a squirrel.
I appreciate that he is Sandy.
You can be Mr. Krabs' daughter. I was making it worse.
While you're ahead.
Sorry.
Keep going.
You can be Patchy. I don't know. I don't know what I got talking about. Sorry. So turtles.
Yeah, shifting into normal ramble time.
AKA Ramblet time.
We had an episode of Pokemon that I haven't watched.
I don't remember what it was about. It must
something
not have been
about breaking something.
Bad.
You just said, like, half an hour ago that we'd be talking about Pokemon there so that we wouldn't have to talk about it later, and now we're talking about it.
I wouldn't really specify if there was an episode I didn't watch us talking about it. I'm informing the audience.
Well, my DVR had it under missed recordings and said that it couldn't find it in the
program. I like how we all have excuses, as if we're like trying to get out of it. Like, oh, I just couldn't make it. I
have no excuse. Mine taped it. I just didn't feel like watching it.
But Turtles was on, and it was a pretty good episode. I liked it.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
And that's a wrap.
Exactly.
So Tiger Claw's back, and he's missing an eye as well as a chunk of his ear.
I like to think the 1987 Turtles did that.
I appreciate that they showed that. Group of people did it.
I appreciate that they showed him fighting them. That was a nice touch in the little animation background thing. But the main point of the episode was largely that Karai is sort of, you know, accepting
on the Shredder.
Accepting Splinter as her dad. I don't have too much else to say. I'm just stating facts. There were turtles in this episode.
I love how like she's like, oh, I want to tell them I agree with them in order to trick
them. She said "bah" too. Before. That's her like evil grunt. Sorry. And I just stopped everything. Oh.
Like, and then she goes back to the lair and then talks to Splinter. It's like, oh shit, he's telling the truth. Well, fuck. I screwed up. Oh well. Whole time Raph's going, I told you so. And I'm like, lol. Oh well. I love this episode. Well, I want to see.
This
I want to see
so
where
much
they
better than our E3 discussion. They can't even handle it.
I want to see where they go with Karai from here now that she's locked in Shredder's dungeon. I mean, I assume they're gonna get her out at some point.
Next episode.
Damn.
That's at some point.
Spoiler alert.
But like, I want to see what they do with her. Is she gonna be a full time ass kicker? Or is she gonna like
go
off?
She gonna
go
retire? And work at Target?
Well, like, is she gonna like go off on like a journey to find herself and atone for her mistakes or something they do with characters? I don't know why she would do that, but no one else wants to talk about this. Apparently,
every time, literally every time, it's like you know. You have some sort of sixth sense that lets you know when I'm talking. I was just going to comment on the fight scenes in the episode. I thought they were really good, especially towards the end. I like whenever the turtles can actually be ninjas. I always like those sequences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The entire fight in the meat place was really well done, because it's rare in like animation shows like this that you get to
fight
see,
in a meat place.
You get to see a fight that's in such close quarters, and I think it was just animated really well. Like it worked for me.
Okay, I did it for Brian, especially in the meat place. I'm sorry. I just love how you paused with meat. You're like, I like how they fought in the meat.
Well, I didn't know what
place to
call it. I'm like, was it a butcher shop? Was it
a meat locker?
Meat packing plant? You're a meat locker.
It gives a whole new meaning to a meeting place. Classic.
Oh that hurt.
I'm sorry.
That hurt.
I'm so sorry.
Should be. But yeah, it was a really good episode. There just wasn't really a whole lot of discussion points or anything, because it's a where does it go from here sort of thing.
Turtles also has that unfortunate thing of airing like the furthest away from the podcast of any of the shows we watch. So it's like, I only remember the base things like plot details, like, but not like any like specific scenes that much or any lines I really liked.
Yeah, Mikey was funny.
I really need to, like, get a little notepad that I keep on me at all times, just called the Mikey Notebook, and just, like, write down any lines he ever says.
Anytime Greg Sipes talks, you just need to write it down.
Mikey is pretty awesome.
Alright, I guess that does it for Ramblet time. Now it's time for
Final Thingies!
Yay,
I have a final thingy, and it's not final.
Yeah, so don't forget to participate in our caption contest. The latest picture is up on Facebook with, like, it's a very, like, matter-of-fact, like, here's your image. Be funny or whatever it says. I can't remember exactly, but it almost sounds, like, annoyed. Like, here's your picture. Your precious picture. That's the way I got it, which is the funniest. But comment on that. Also, feel free to send us any ideas of what to talk about next week.
Or picture ideas.
Exactly.
I put up
ideas.
A post.
I put up a post like a couple of days before I posted the caption to see if anybody had any funny pictures that they thought would be good for the caption contest. So if you do, just tweet them at us.
Yeah. Same thing with ideas for topics for next week. Seriously, we got nothing.
It's like E3.
Yeah.
It's like golf.
Yeah, like if E3 had been next week, it would have been perfect. But yeah.